Just more of your inappropriate music, Helen. Hello, then, and I bid you welcome to this afternoon of Monday, the whatever it is of November. I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee on LBC 97.3 FMs a second. I've no idea, before you ask me, and I know you will, I've no idea where Ian is, of course, but the smart money this afternoon is that he's stuck in a fight. But I'm in his chair all week, sort of, I don't know, I guess I'm claiming squatter's rights in a way, like it was a small room for one bottom crack den on wheels. It's not a crack den, though, it's a chair. There's no crack on it whatsoever, apart from the aforementioned bottom. But don't phone the police about that, then. Instead, phone 0870 9090 973 to get straight through to me here in the studio. You can also text us, of course, this afternoon, 84850, or email holmes@lbc.co.uk. We get a lovely mixture, and I'm looking at it now, a lovely mixture of adverts for Viagra and abuse. Both are welcome. 84850, holmes@lbc.co.uk. Lots of prizes this afternoon. Various competitions today, various competitions, and I've got, I think we've got, four high definitions to give away this afternoon. Four high definitions, which means that by the end of the show, three lucky listeners will be the proud owners of them. I'm keeping one. 0870 9090 973 to be even within a gnat's mimsy of a chance of winning that. Hello then, I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee. You're listening with your ears to LBC 97.3.
London's LBC 97.3. John Holmes.
So welcome to 3.5 hours proper of a man, as I say, sitting in for Ian Lee all week this week. And can I just tell you what a fantastic lineup? Can I just tell you what a fantastic lineup of entertainment we've got coming up for you betwixt now and Friday? No, I can't, because we haven't. Instead, it's the same ill-conceived barrage of random acts of pointlessness that we've come to know and tolerate. For instance, after the unprecedented popularity of last week's Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio game, today we're firing up to play Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. You are a member of the US military special ops unit Blood Ravens, and you must save the planet Tartarus from marauding orcs. Kicks the heck out of Gary King's big quiz, doesn't it? And there are prizes. Today I've got, as I say, four high definitions to give away. You could be with a chance of winning one of them. Once again, the good people at Technology have come up trumps. 0870 9090 973 to win one of four high definitions by simply playing Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. Also, on today's unexploded firework mystery voice competition, no one got it on Friday. Nobody guessed it. So we've rolled it over for today. I can tell you that this is Simon Cowell telling us that he hates losing. But who is it?
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
If you think you know who that is, you can text us, 84850, email holmes@lbc.co.uk. They are the numbers, and indeed the email address, for the mystery voice. It isn't a phone competition, it's just text or email. Of course, potentially entertaining chatting is also what's coming up this afternoon. Some of it will, of course, as usual, be the ranting of mentals, but that's fine. If you've got something to say, 0870 90 90 973. Chris will be through the glass answering the telephones just as soon as him and Helen stop petting. The lines are open right now, 0870 90 90 973, to get on air. And apropos of that, I say to you the word lawnmowers, and I say this for a good reason. Now, I've mentioned this before, I'm sure, okay? So you may have heard the beginning of this story, but I've now got an end to it. But I'm going to set it, I'm going to tell you again, right? But back, I don't know, about 2 months ago, this was, I bought a lawnmower. I've never had a lawnmower before, but I bought a lawnmower. I've got a lawn, obviously. I didn't just buy it. That'd be stupid. But I bought this lawnmower, and I bought, against everybody's advice, I have to say at the time, against everybody's advice, I bought a lawnmower that was an electric plug-in lawnmower. And everyone said, don't do that. Don't do that. Get a petrol, non-cable lawnmower. They're much better. Don't buy an electric plug-in lawnmower. But I didn't listen. Like an idiot, I went out and bought, I'm not going to mention the manufacturer, because, you know, there are plenty of them, and Chris is staring at me like I might go to prison if I do tell you. But suffice to say, I bought an electric plug-in lawnmower. I used it 5 times. On the 5th go, halfway through the lawn, it simply blew up. The engine, the motor engine. The motor just went, pfft, some smoke came out. So I took it back to the shop, mid-lawn, took it back, straight back to the shop that afternoon. And I said, look, this has blown, carried it in like it was a, you know, a dead body. This lawnmower's dead, can you fix it? No. What went wrong with it? Well, it just stopped working. Could you just give me another one? I'll go home and finish the lawn. Long story short, they wouldn't. They are still refusing 2 months later to acknowledge that after 5 uses, the lawnmower stopped and broke. I took it to this shop. I'm angry with the shop. Customer service in that shop was appalling. I won't give you the name of the shop. That would be wrong. But I will tell you the initials. B&Q. So, I went to B&Q, just the initials, not the name of the shop, notice. We're legally watertight. Went back there, the customer service wouldn't have any of it. They suggested that they called different managers and they told me, you can't have this lawnmower fixed. We're not gonna do it. It's customer misuse. Customer misuse. It's a lawnmower that I've been using to mow a lawn. Apparently that's customer misuse. Anyway, this was a while ago. I wrote after that to the managing director of the well-known retail outlet, demanding to know what on earth customer misuse of mowing a lawn with a lawnmower. What is customer misuse? I'm using it for what it's designed for. And I pointed this out politely, not that politely if I'm honest, in a letter. Fair enough. Got a reply this week. This week took that long. Got a reply from the managing director's office that simply said, we agree with whatever they said in the shop, you're not having anything. I'm paraphrasing, but that's more or less what it said. Now, I don't think this is very good customer service, you see. I'm quite annoyed still about this. But I wouldn't mention it. The only reason I brought this up is because a friend of mine, this weekend, had a dishwasher. He's had a dishwasher for 2 weeks. 2 weeks of dishwasher. Underneath the counter, plumbed in, as it would be, as you'd expect, next to the sink. Within that 2 weeks, the motor shorts out in the dishwasher. So they call the manufacturer. They send an engineer. He comes out and goes, same line. Customer misuse. There's water in it. It's a dishwasher! Of course there's water in it! It washes dishes! Customer misuse, sir. It's a dishwasher. You used it for washing dishes. Customer misuse, sir. No money back. Nothing. Tough. So, customer relations. Appalling? Yes. 08709090973. If you've been on the receiving end of terrible customer service that's illogical along the lines of my lawnmower and Andy's dishwasher, 08709090973. I want to talk about customer service. I want to know this afternoon that we're not the only two people who have been unfairly discriminated against on the grounds that we only used a product for what it was designed for in the first place, yet apparently that's customer misuse. 08709090973 for customer service talk, if you please. Because it's annoying. It's annoyed me over the weekend. It's annoyed Andy. Engineers have come out. The water has dripped into the motor, sir. Water's dripped into the motor of the dishwasher. What? Where from? The work surface, right? Yeah, okay. You've got it next to the sink, so that's why. Yeah, but it needs plumbing in, doesn't it? So you've got to put it next to the sink, because that's where the plumbing is. Yeah, that's right, sir, but unfortunately water's dripped off the surface into it. So why? So you're saying this is the part of the dishwasher that's vulnerable, because it's got the motor in it, perhaps vulnerable to getting wet. Why not? Just an idea. Why not make the motor part of the dishwasher that has to be plumbed in bloody waterproof? It's not rocket science. It's just dishwasher science. It's not even rocket science. It's not even the appliance of science. It wasn't even the Zanussi one. They're in the clear. I don't think I can tell you the manufacturer. Chris is staring at me again. But look, bad customer service. I'm frankly annoyed by it. Andy's annoyed by it. 08709090973. You can also text us this afternoon. We are going to be playing the Mystery Voice competition. I'm going to be launching that proper, though. Loads of phone calls coming in now. I thought you might be interested in that. Email, homes@lbc.co.uk. Again, poor customer service. We'll just chuck that out there and see what we get. We will be playing Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. So I've got 4 high definitions to give away this afternoon, if you want to play that. You can call us to do So we won't be playing it yet, but you can play to register to call it. Of course, we'll call you back. 08709090973. If you want to play Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. Mystery Voice Competition. Again, I say that's a text and an email competition. Well, should we hear it again? Yeah, I won't set it up proper, but I can tell you this is Simon Cowell. I tell you this is Simon Cowell talking about the fact that he hates losing.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
So who is that? If you think you know, of course, their prize is up for grabs. All right, so... thing. 84850 or homes@lbc.co.uk. Meanwhile, have we got to go do a thing? Yeah, we have. The thing. Yeah, okay. Travel.
Here's the thing, then.
It's Alan Joyce with his thing.
Yeah, thanks. M4 coming in.
John Holmes.
Apparently that's who I am. Hello there, with customer service. Hello, Amanda.
Oh, it's me.
It is you.
I'm not customer services.
I know you're not. I wasn't phoning customer services. Although I might phone one.
I could have put my customer service voice on.
Have you got one of those?
Yeah, I could have said, hello, how can we help you?
And I'd have said, you're a customer service line, you bloody can't, you're rubbish. And that would have been the truth.
Just wanted to tell you that actually what B&Q said is wrong. It's law.
Yes.
That... if legally your appliance or your you know anything you buy isn't fit for use for what you bought it for, you're entitled to your money back or even better still an exchange as long as you have your receipt and it's within the certain time period.
Yeah, they said, you see, their argument was that I had breached the terms of the guarantee because they said, no lie, as I said then, all I've been doing is mowing a lawn. They looked at the blade, right, underneath, and they said it's got... and they said the blade's got some chips in it. Not chips, I mean, you know, dents. Because otherwise that would be misuse if I'm using it to mow a fry-up. That's ridiculous. But it wasn't. It was just some dents out of the blade. Which, you know, if you're mowing a lawn, you just get that anyway, don't you? That's why blades are replaceable.
Usually goes on stones.
Yeah.
But that's actually said... What they said is absolutely wrong. You bought it from there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. I tell you, I find that it... Which one was it?
Am I allowed to say?
Are you allowed to say?
Which mower was it?
Take it to another one. That's what I would say.
Yeah, but you know what they did? This is what they do. I thought of that. What they did, they scanned the barcode of the individual item. So now it's registered on their main system as...
And how long did you have the lawnmower for?
About 2 months. Less than that.
Less than 2 months.
Yeah. Mm. And I used it 5 times, and it just stopped. And they said, "Oh, look, the blade's damaged. You've clearly, they were accusing me of using it to mow a tarmac drive or something. I don't know. You know.
Well, I can't help you. But if I was at B&Q, I would have given you money back.
Well, my argument is, Amanda. You see, my argument is not unreasonably. It is that even if I had indeed accidentally misused it, right? Just doesn't good customer service dictates, does it not? That you just go, oh, look, all right, we know you didn't make it. To them, what does it cost? Nothing. They might as well, just for the good customer relations, have said, yep, here you go, mate, we're replacing it, and that's fine. And you go, well, okay, I appreciate that. And then I will come back to B&Q and I will tell people how good B&Q are. But what's happened is, I've gone the other way, and I have not been in there since, and neither would I ever. I've travelled further to get new stuff that from my nearest place, because I'm not going to go in there again.
Exactly. Can I just have a quickie?
Yep.
I know that Ian Lee's away.
He is away.
You do usually get a caller sometimes, called a Mrs. Doubtfire.
Right.
Have you heard her?
I have heard her. I've not spoken to her, though.
Oh, right.
I've not spoken to her.
I just want to let all her fans know that there is going to be just in filming at the moment, there's going to be a Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Is there really?
Yeah, with Robin Williams.
Robin Williams out of the film Flubber.
Yeah.
Has agreed?
Yes, he has.
To do Mrs. Doubtfire 2?
Yes, I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot more from Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm sure we will now. Perhaps now, then, there could be a regular caller that is Mrs. Doubtfire 2.
Exactly.
That's all I'm suggesting.
Thank you very much.
Do you know things about customer services, by the way? Is that why you've... Or are you an expert in this? Or?
Oh, I'm an expert. I'm always bringing stuff back. And B&Q, I usually have no problem in the Watford one.
Right. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I'll just take my lawnmower there. But I'll say they're barcoded, I won't stand a chance.
No.
Ugh. I'm just annoyed.
Oh, well. Have a nice day.
Well, and you, thank you very much. Very kind of you. Thank Amanda there in Hendon, telling me that I'm in the right, essentially. If Amanda worked in customer services, then I you know, happily talk to her. But, you know, Elizabeth, hello.
Oh, hello, John. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. Where do we find you today?
Okay, well, I'm in Langley at the moment.
Okay.
I'm in my car, I'm driving. Well, I'm not driving, I've stopped.
You stopped? Well, that's how very safety conscious of you. Have you not got a hands-free kit?
No, I do have one, actually, but I don't normally put it on.
Why?
Because I don't normally take phone calls when I'm driving.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair
but
enough.
Anyway, my customer service, yes. I entered into a mobile phone contract.
Right.
Which was, like, they provided me with a handset, and I...
That you don't use? Oh, no, sorry.
No, but I had to pay. I had to pay. I think it was £30 or £35 a month. Okay?
Yes.
You know, free phone, etc. They told me that the phone was insured, and if anything happened to it, the phone would be replaced. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Sounded like, you know, quite a good deal. You know, free minutes, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Anyway, after I'd had the phone about 3 or 4 weeks, the phone wouldn't work. The display went all peculiar.
Yeah, you see, you made the mistake there of assuming they were telling you the truth, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I actually believe them.
Yeah.
So I called them up anyway, and they said to me, oh, okay, you know, can I post it back to them, and they'll repair it, right?
Yep.
So I did all that. Then next thing, I got a letter back from them saying they couldn't, I got the phone back. They sent me a letter saying, it was customer, I had damaged it myself, and they couldn't repair it free of charge, but they would repair it if I paid £140. So I said, well, I'm not paying £140. I said, the reason why I went and got a contract was because I didn't want to pay £140 for a phone anyway. I said, I can't afford a phone.
What did they blame you? How did they blame you?
Well, they said I must have dropped it. I said, well, I didn't drop it.
That's the thing. They accuse you of lying.
Yeah.
That's what annoys me, frankly.
Right. And then they said, I said, look, I carry it in my bag all the time. And they said, oh, it must have got squashed in your bag. I said, well, I said, that's where women carry their mobile phones, in their handbag.
Exactly. They know that, so why not design a phone that's handbag-proof?
Exactly.
They all should be. Like a dishwasher that's designed to not be waterproof. What's the point?
Exactly. But, John, it got worse than that afterwards.
God.
Because after I refused to pay and wrote loads of letters, then they wrote to me demanding that there was 11 months of the contract left and I had to pay them £35 a month for the contract.
For no phone.
With no phone. So I said to them, look, we've entered into this contract, right? I agreed to have the contract to pay this. You agreed to provide me with a handset in order that I can keep my part of the contract. I haven't got a handset. I've got nothing to make phone calls on. So therefore, I'm not honouring my part of the contract. Anyway, they threatened me with letters to take me to court. With bailiffs, with this, with that. This went on. This actually went on for nearly a year. And I said to them, you know, the final letter I wrote to them, I said, I welcome it. Please take me to court. I am not paying.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you like. I refuse to pay. And if I had £1 million, I would not pay because it's a matter of principle. Then...
Did you win?
Well, in the end, I had, actually about 3 months ago, this is like a year and 3 months later, I had a very nice, American gentleman, you know, he was a bit like, you know, the Osmonds, all nice and polite.
I didn't know there was such a thing, but okay.
All nice and polite and everything, you know.
Yeah.
And he said to me, oh, well, do you want to pay, you know, could you make an offer, this is that. And I explained the situation to him, and I said, I'm not paying. I said, this is the situation. And he said, I quite understand. And he was, you know, he was very nice. And so far, I haven't heard anything else.
You know what you should have done?
What's that?
You should have written him a letter early on, right, that just said, dear mobile phone company, could you in future, I'm having a lot of problems with my post, could you in future please only contact me by my mobile phone telephone number?
Yes, I should have done.
Put your number down with a phone that doesn't work. And then when they go, why aren't you paying your bill? Well, you haven't got in touch. We've been phoning you. Yeah, but your phone doesn't work! Then that would have, you know, that would have told
me. I know, it was like banging your head against the brick wall.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you, I'll leave
you. Well, now you've vented that, that's good. See, I feel better for venting my tale of woe of lawnmower. So, you know, it's only right and proper that you should be able to come on here and tell us about your phone.
Yeah, I feel better too.
Yeah, see? Don't let them grind you down, Elizabeth, that's what I say.
No, I wouldn't let them grind me down.
And even if you did, you'd probably try and do it with a grinder you'd bought from B&Q, in which case it wouldn't work.
Well, exactly. Probably wouldn't be covered anyway, would it?
Anyway, Elizabeth, thank you very much for your call. Clearly calling from a phone that works. 0870 90 90 973. Customer service row. I'm just trying to make myself feel better this afternoon. That's all about mine. Or you can text us 84850. Email homes@lbc.co.uk. Hello, John Holmes, sitting in for Mr. Ian Lee. John Holmes. In fact, I don't even understand why it then, at the time of taking this thing back, took about six different managers. It seems that this well-known chain have a manager for every different aisle of the store. Oh, we've got to call the gardening aisle manager, sir. Oh, we've got to call the lawn aisle manager. Oh, we've got to call the man in charge of the wire that's attached to the... All of them said the same thing. Of course, they backed each other up. But now I've written to the manager director and got my reply back this week. That's why I'm still annoyed about it. Anyway, customer service, 0870 90 90 973. This is LBC 97.3. I am him. 0870 90. If you want to call us about customer services, I was just thinking then, when I was talking to Elizabeth, by the way, that she was talking about mobile phones and how if you put them in your bag, which is where, you know, women keep them, and they get bashed around and then break. That is obviously bad design, because that's where everyone keeps mobile phones. If you're a woman, you put it in your handbag. Man, stick it in your pocket. And there's a thing, right? I have had now, in the last month, three Oyster cards that have stopped working completely. You go and use it and seek assistance. Other religious assistance is available. you go in and you put your card down. Seek assistance. Go over to my Oyster card's not working again. In the big queue that's formed anyway. And after having three of these, I started to question why my Oyster card was just stopping working. And they said, oh, do you keep it in the same pocket as your mobile phone? And I sort of went, yeah, it's just my pocket. I went, there you go, you see. There I go, you see what? Well, the signal from a mobile phone burns out the information strip on an Oyster card. So don't keep them in pockets with a mobile phone. Who knew that? Where on the instructions for Oyster cards and or mobile phones was that? So that's my advice to you. If you've got an Oyster card and it's stopped working, it's probably because it's next to a mobile phone, which apparently destroys Oyster cards. But nobody thought to tell anyone about this. I'm just in a bit of a mood today, aren't I? I am. It's just because everything... Lawnmower, no action weekend from replies from managing directors. Friends dishwasher. Oyster cards. Mark. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm in a mood. I'm apologising.
No, don't, because I can completely relate to all of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, customer service. I mean, I think I must have a degree in this area.
Yeah. I bet there's probably a degree course somewhere in customer service as well.
And I think sometimes...
I sound like Nick Ferrari this afternoon. I don't know what's happened to me. Anyway, go on.
Well, certain people seem to probably have a little bit more bad luck than others.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've noticed recently, or certainly in the last 18 months, 2 years, that every customer service person you speak to on the phone is now a customer service manager. So when you're going through all your grievance, usually you go, right, well, I'd like to escalate this to your supervisor or your manager, please. Oh, I am the manager.
Oh, that's good.
Everybody's job title now is the customer service manager, which then leaves the consumer... no area to go after that,
that
call.
That is well spotted, Mark. That is absolutely true. I hadn't thought of that, but you're absolutely right.
And very recently, I had sold a couple of 78 records on eBay or something, and I had to send them off. And I'd gone to a real great length of cardboard packaging, extra thick bubble wrap, fragile stickers, glass enclosed, do not break.
Yeah.
And the two records arrived absolutely in pieces. So not only did I have the people from who bought them wanted a refund, I then had to go through the whole claim process, sending them, you know, insured, recorded delivery, all that palaver.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through the customer service call centre, and every time I rang them back, I would get a completely different call centre in a completely different area. So there was never no continuity in the claim.
Yeah.
You know? And it's fill out this form, fill out that form, and then prove how much it was worth. Well, it was worth what I sold it for. That's what it was worth. Yeah. I'd like to claim back the postage as well. Oh, no, we're paid for the damage, but we won't pay for the postage. So at the end of all that, I still was at a loss because I'd paid for the postage and I'd lost that because the item never arrived. I had to refund the postage. I had to refund the cost of the item. And I could never speak to the same person twice.
No, you can't. That's also true. You can't do that. That, again, is part of their game. They know... I just have turned into a ranting man this afternoon. I don't know why. But anyway, they know, of course... If they make it difficult for you to get through to it and sort it all out, you probably won't bother. You probably give up. They know that, Mark.
I know.
They're evil people.
You just bought your end up. I mean, they must have just like a little rule of 10 rules on the phone and they go through all these processes, but the end result is to just really get rid of the caller or really cheese the person off.
Yeah.
To the extent you just hang up and think, hang on, this has cost me like a fiver on the phone today.
That's exactly the other
thing. Try and claim back a tenner, you know.
All the lines are extortionate numbers, rate numbers, all that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Anyway, you carry on.
Thank you, but what, being cross, like I am today.
Yeah, be cross.
Yeah, thanks for I feel like I've purged myself. I feel like I'm normally quite laid back on, you know, come in, sit around, have a nice chat with people on telephone. Today, I was just a bit annoyed, so I thought I'd, you know, share it with you. And it clearly has opened a can of angry call centre worms. We're going to play a game. We've got time, haven't we? Yeah, okay, right, well. Like on Friday, if you were listening, you'll know we played Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell for the radio. Not for the Xbox, notice, but for the radio. And today we cast aside... Tom Clancy and his Splinter Cell, we cast aside your Xbox and you can kick your PlayStation in the nuts. For this afternoon, we are playing Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. And this is how it works. It's the 41st century. The planet Tartarus is overrun by marauding, warmongering orcs. You are a space marine of the Special Ops Unit codenamed Blood Ravens. At your disposal, you have a shotgun. Even though it's the 41st century, this inexplicably is still what you have, and you're wearing body armour. Your task is to muster your forces and crush the enemy. Standing between you and mission success are armies of vicious orcs, human allies, household pets, and ballet dancers. Will you achieve victory? Will you free the planet, Tarsid thing? Are you happy to dick about on the wireless in the vague hope of winning a prize? 0870-9090-973 to play Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. And I think on the telephone to play it now is a person. Hello?
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Leo.
Hello. Is that your star sign or your name?
It's my name.
What star sign are you?
I'm a Libra.
That must be really annoying and confusing.
It is. Yeah. I get that a lot.
Oh, must be. Where are you calling from, Leo?
I'm calling from Chertsey.
Chertsey?
Yeah.
And how is it there? Is it dark yet?
It's not dark yet. It's very beautiful, actually. It's a nice day.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's still quite cold, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you doing? Why are you skiving off work, at work?
No, lunch break.
Lunch break?
Lunch break.
It's 20 to 4.
I can take it when I want.
What, you're a customer? Are you a customer service manager or something?
No, I work for a record label.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's not the same, is it? I bet people don't ring you up going, oh, I bought a record from you. It's rubbish. Used it 5 times, burnt out.
No, people tend to avoid my calls when I seem to be chasing them up.
Yeah, I suppose that happens to you, doesn't it? Your job is to get, A&R, get bands promoted, that sort of thing?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah? Anyone you want to shamelessly try and get away on here?
Oh, we've got a fantastic new band called the Gyro Jets, which everyone should check out.
Oh, I've heard of them. Rubbish.
Oh.
Ah, I've just undermined that, haven't I? Ha ha! Not really. I'm, you know, fine. Good. Good. what sort of thing they play?
They're kind of like poppy indie kind of stuff.
Can't sell them to us.
Not like McFly or anything, but kind of like, sort of more along the vein of Oasis, that kind of thing, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
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 Got any next to you? Got any you want to play to us now?
I'm not in the office.
Ah, it's not very professional, is it?
No.
Where have you gone for your lunch break?
I'm outside a wakeboard park, actually. I'm looking over the water.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very pleasant.
It is.
Right. And you want to play Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear the show on Friday?
I didn't, I'm afraid, no.
Okay, well, in that case, I'm going to have to explain it to you, aren't I?
Okay, go for it.
It is the computer game, Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade, but instead of for the PC, it's for the radio.
Okay.
Okay. And you've got four controls.
Okay.
In fact, you've got slightly more than four controls today. You've got fight.
Yeah.
Don't fight.
Yeah.
Pick up and use.
Yeah.
Bang uselessly into wall.
Okay.
Or surreptitiously feel up. Okay, they're your controls today.
Okay.
You've got to get through, standing between your mission success, our armies, as I say, are vicious orcs, human allies, household pets, and ballet dancers.
Okay.
Okay. You are going to begin the level, I will guide you through, by shouting out what's popping up to try and kill you, and you have to use one of those controls to decide how to deal with it. Does that make sense?
It does.
Helen will play some inappropriate music.
Okay.
And we'll play the first round of Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. At least it's not on the bus. She played the music to On the Buses on Friday. It was rubbish. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's quite fast moving, I warn you.
Okay.
Orc.
Fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Hamster.
Fight.
Orc.
Don't fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc. Human ally.
Don't fight.
Gerbil.
Fight.
Kitten.
Fight.
Orc holding fight. A kitten.
Oh, fight, definitely.
Orc biting a kitten.
Fight.
Ballet dancer.
Feel up surreptitiously.
Orc dressed as a ballet dancer.
Fight.
Orc not dressed as a ballet dancer, but still performing Swan Lake.
Fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Human ally kissing an orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc with a gun.
Fight.
Orc buying a copy of DVD, copy of Spooks on DVD from HMV.
Fight still, I reckon.
Good call. Gerbil.
Fight.
Gerbil with a gun.
Fight.
Ballet dancer.
Feel up surreptitiously.
Ballet dancer with a gerbil.
Feel up surreptitiously, but kill the gerbil.
Nudie ballet dancer.
Feel up surreptitiously.
Hamster.
Fight.
Hamster.
Fight.
Hamster.
Fight.
Hamster.
Fight.
Richard Gere.
Fight.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Oh, fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Human ally.
Don't fight.
Child.
Don't fight.
Child on a bike.
Don't fight.
Christ on a bike.
Don't fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Nice orc, but it's bought you a present.
Fight.
Game over. Game over. Congratulations and well done.
Thank you.
Leo, I'm going to add your score up. Have I got time to do the score before the half good? Right, so, well, you're the first player, to be honest, and so that means you've got today's high score.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want to put your initials in?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go through the alphabet.
Okay.
Twice for your initials.
Right.
Have you got a middle name?
Yeah.
Right, I'll do it for three times, and you say stop when I get to the right letters, like on a computer game, yeah?
Okay.
Okay, you ready? Here we go. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O. Well, I stopped on O there, didn't I?
Oh, you went over. It's too quick. You were pressing the button too fast.
Well, you always do, don't they, when you play them?
They do.
Okay, second initial.
Okay.
A, B, C, D. D, D, O, D.
No.
Okay, surname, last initial. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. L.
No, one off.
Oh, well, so your initials are ODL. Congratulations, Leo.
Thank you.
You're in the lead. And if you stand to win, I've got some high definition, I think, to give away today. Okay? Leo?
That's brilliant.
Yeah, have you got any already?
No.
Brilliant. Okay, well, stand the line, we'll take your dress, and we'll send you some high definition should you remain in the high school. LBC 97.3. I think this is probably the travel with Mr. Alan Joyce.
I think it probably is. The M4 is now...
John Holmes.
Yes, it's me. 08709090973. We're talking about annoying customer service because, frankly, I've had one of those weekends. 84850 is the text. Holmes at lbc.co.uk is the email. Tom has texted or emailed here. Emailed in. Read what I said about an Oyster card being kept near a mobile phone in your pocket, which renders the Oyster card apparently useless. So the man at London Underground told me. John, you should be more worried about your manhood if a mobile can destroy an Oyster card in your front pocket. It's a fair point, Tom, but then my manhood isn't equipped with an electronic strip that allows me to get through barriers. If only it were, Tom. Paul is on the phone. Hello.
Hello there, what, John?
Yeah, what line are you on? Sorry, what line are you on? I need to write this down, apparently.
Hey?
What line are you calling on?
I don't know.
Say, 8.
8.
That'll do. Paul on line 8, hello.
Hello, yeah. John, you were on about customer service. My wife bought, a washing machine.
Yep.
And, just after the warranty ran out.
Yeah.
As luck would have it, my father-in-law bought the extra warranty on it for us.
I've always said they were a waste of time.
Yeah, well, if you just hear me out, this, as luck would have it. Yeah, anyway, but just shortly after the warranty run out, it started to go wrong.
Yeah.
And then this particular fitter, and we always had the same one, come round 7 times.
Yeah.
At £80 a time. And all it was a little module, like a little plastic, like a plug-in thing.
Yeah.
On the for the top.
Technical,
but what it was, he charges the people that made the thing,
yeah,
£80 a go.
Yeah.
7 times he come out, and the washing machine was only like £350. So how did you work that out? And he said, they know, he said, design fault, because they're bringing out a new model, they will keep...
We're
doing it.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And bless him... when the warranty did run out, he gave us another 3 modules and he showed me how to fit it myself. So,
that's good.
That
is good customer service from him.
But
frankly...
The inconvenience was...
Yeah.
When it went wrong, you couldn't... If you had the washing machine full, obviously clothes and water, you couldn't undo it. I'd take it out.
So you can't... pump the water out, is what you're telling me?
No, and then my wife had to wait in for him to come round, so I'd ring him up, and then it's like... another day or hours later, for him to come out. It's all an inconvenience all the time. So it was good customer service, but it's inconvenience at the same time. Do you understand what I mean?
Do you know what I did once with the washing machine? This is true. What I did once. And this, I had, this is my old house, and I had the washing machine, obviously, plumbed in the kitchen, but quite near the sink, okay? But the unbeknownst to me, the sink plug drain thing was in went into the same pipe, Paul, as the washing machine outflow pipe.
I mean,
it made sense, of course, so why didn't the same goes out of the house big plumbing pipe? So what I did, like, because I'm a lazy man, washing up over the years, bits of shepherd's pie, stuff down the sea. You swill it down, don't you, to get rid of it. I'm not going to pick it out, you'll swill it down. I'm a bloke, bit lazy. So all that, right, and over a period of time, this built up. I didn't realise until one day when I went to put some washing on and I opened the door of the washing machine and out came a tidal wave of last night's washing up gunge. We went all over the kitchen. It had over the time just filled the washing machine. It had become so blocked, filled the whole, water couldn't go outside. It went into the washing machine to wait for me like a trap, Paul.
Nice one. Because you need that, didn't you?
Yeah, I really wanted that. Yeah. It didn't break it. It just simply covered the kitchen in old, scummy food. Yeah.
I just wanted to let you know about it. Like, the customer service are good, but you still have to wait for them.
Yeah.
And, I
think that's the trouble with these things. And I mean, that's interesting that you were saying about the extended warranty, because I never take those out, because they go, oh, you want the extended warranty? It's the same price as the thing you're buying. And you go, well, no, I don't want it then, do I? No.
No. See, I wouldn't have bought it. It was only a present off her dad. Like,
yeah.
He said, I'll get you excited. I said, no, don't worry. But he said, no, I'll do it.
It's not a great present, is it, Paul? It's not brilliant. I want a holiday.
Well, no. Well, I'd rather have more. I don't know. But, yeah, it was rather than a warranty.
Yeah.
But as luck would have it, he done us a good turn. It lasted another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So, and bless the geezer. My wife was on first name server with him when he came round.
Oh, aye. Were you there at all times as a chaperone?
Old boy, he was all
right. Or have you not considered this, Paul?
Go on.
Perhaps between them they were making up a story that the washing machine had broken. And she was going, it's broken again, I've got to phone...
You wouldn't do that to me.
Got to phone a bloke. And you went, all right. Falling for it, Paul. Every time.
Nah, 18 years.
Yeah,
you had to get 15 for life, didn't you? Anyway, I've got to go. I'm painting.
Oh, yeah? What are you painting?
I'm painting my soffit, actually. I've just done my garden gate and my garage door, and I'm painting the soffit to it.
I thought you meant you're an artist. I thought you were going to say, well, it's a nude portrait.
No.
It's a still life, John. I'm doing fruit. Paul, thanks. If you've got a customer service story that's, you know, probably more interesting than that one. 08709090973, text us 84850. If you want to play Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio, same number, 08709090973. If you can beat Leo's high score, you might be in with a chance of winning the high definition that we have. One of four high definitions that we have to give away this afternoon. LBC will, of course, post them to you at our expense. Now you know. Or you can email homes@lbc.co.uk. We'll also be playing the Mystery Voice competition. More of that coming up soon. Yes, if you're a mental, then please do call us, 08709090973. Text us on the thing. Hello?
Me.
Are you a mental?
Yes.
Yes? Then you're very welcome. Hello.
Right.
Who are you first?
Hello, mate.
What is your name? Do you have a name? Do you have a name?
Yes, it's Tony, but you can call me Simon.
Why?
I don't know, because he rang up and said, hello, Simon.
Righto.
All right, listen, two things. Number one, fit for purpose, all
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
It's a legal term. It means that the thing, whatever it is you're buying,
yep,
it's got to work, function, and therefore be pretty for at least a year.
Righto.
All right?
Yes.
About 15 quid, you go to a small claims court, chuck that at B&Q, believe me, you'll get...
You think that'll work? Because they said, because I argued that, I said, fit for purpose. And they said, well, it was, but you've broken it by misusing it. And I'm going, I haven't. And they basically called me a liar.
Well, exactly, that's right. But what you're doing is you're actually negotiating with somebody that's on £5 an hour. So instead of mucking about, just lob a private summons at him, and believe me, you'll get your new lawnmower. So that's not a problem at all.
Okay, I'm going to do that then. On your say-so.
Yeah, on my say-so.
Can I put your name down on it?
You put my name down on it, and I'd suggest that you go for the biggest lawnmower you can get hold of.
I'll put Tony, whose name is Simon, says. Simon
yeah,
says,
right.
Issue a
yeah.
summons, and then put your hands on your head. I'll do that. I'll go, Simon
right.
says, put your hands
on. Now listen,
yeah.
listen.
Go on.
Right?
Yeah.
Some time ago, I paid in my company's money.
Yep.
Into a high street bank.
Righto.
And after a little while, I got a letter from them saying that I was in big trouble. My overdraft was up through the roof. I'd fraudulently used the bank's money, and I was to present myself at the bank on the Monday morning to answer questions relating to the fraudulent action of this account.
Right.
Right. Well, I had the most miserable weekend. My wife accused me of all sorts of betting and gambling.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand where
which normally you keep hidden.
1,000 quid
yeah.
that I'd paid in had gone.
Right.
Anyway, Sunday night, I get out of bed again for the umpteenth time, and I'm looking at me paying in book. It's somebody else's paying in book.
Good work.
Right? So anyway, I go down the bank on Monday.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm standing outside the bank, and the door opens on the chain, and I said to the guy, I've got a letter here. I said, I've been fraudulently using the bank's money, but can I pop in quietly before the big crowd, you know, gets in the bank and have a chat with the bank manager? He said, no, mate, we don't open until 9 o'clock, so you just wait there. So I said, well, all right, well, just before you shut the door, can I tell you that I'm on 30 quid an hour? And he shut the door. Anyway,
You got 20 seconds.
I went in to see the bank manager. I dragged it out as long as possible. I got all the money back, all interest paid. And as I was leaving...
Has he gone? Oh, good. LBC 97.3, 08709090973 84850. Text homes@lbc.co.uk. Good afternoon. I'm John Holmes, sitting in this chair for Mr. Ian Lee. Yes, lots of answers coming in for the Mystery Voice competition this afternoon. John, is it Saddam Hussein? I'm not sure who sent that is. Let's have a listen to it. I can tell you, of course, that it is Simon Cowell talking about the fact that he doesn't like losing. We've rolled this over from Friday, but let's have a listen.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
Who is that we want to know this afternoon? 84850. Is it Saddam Hussein? No, well, no, because if it was Saddam Hussein, it's like this. So it wasn't him. I'm sure the mystery voice is Bill Oddie during his seminal moment of playing Queen Elizabeth I in the 1986 film The Queen and I. Not sure who that's from. I think it's LBC Ashley getting knocked out of X Factor. That's from someone else. Is it Sharon Osbourne? That's from Andy in Hackney. And this is from Tony. And this is just a piece of advice, I think, from Tony. And I think something we should all, you know, today's, you know, this afternoon's sort of angry tone that I was taking during the first hour of the show due to bad customer service. And this is just a good bit of advice from Tony for us all. John, the best way to calm down a hoofed animal is to get off with it. And that's from Tony. Yeah, good advice. Thank you very much. Ed is on the phone. Hello, Ed.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's all right. But how's yours?
Well, I'm staying awake unlike you, so I hope this story is good enough.
Oh, there's a man who's listening. Where are you calling from, Ed?
I'm calling from Woking in Surrey at the moment.
And what do you do there?
I'm a car dealer.
Are you?
I've got cars, yeah.
Oh, and you're in Woking, because that's not a Woking accent you're kicking off with there, is it?
Certainly not, no.
No, where are you from originally?
I'm from the posh area, I'm from Liverpool.
Ah, of course you are. Which area of Liverpool? Actually, the posh area of Liverpool?
The poshest part, yeah. Chocks Teff.
Oh, that is the posh area, certainly. When Absolutely. You say you're a car dealer, then?
Yeah, I go back to Liverpool.
You mean you're a car stealer? What?
No. I said I go back to Liverpool every year to visit my hubcaps.
Hey, it's a well-rehearsed routine.
Thanks very much.
Okay, come on. So, you're a car dealer, and yes, go on, tell us things.
Unfortunately, I got 6 points due to no fault of my own. Somebody was driving a car and claimed that I was the driver.
Right.
And it's taken me a year to try and get the points taken off my licence, and I still haven't had them off, right?
Yeah.
So I had the best alibi in the world. Cool. I was in prison at the time.
Now, that's a pretty good alibi, isn't it? Because presumably they can prove that.
Without doubt, yeah.
Really?
Just from my lawyer and from my probation people and what have you to prove where I was, and still I can't get them off a year later.
Why? What's their reason?
Well, it's all about the customer service, I think. You know,
same thing.
Pass me on to different people, week in, week out. The letters I've written, recorded delivery letters, time and time again, and still I'm in the same position, unable to get them removed.
That's ridiculous. And I thought my lawnmower was stupid. This is even worse.
But, you know, it was an alibi like that, you know. Under normal circumstances, I could appreciate it'd be quite hard to you know, to prove where you were.
Of course, yeah.
But now, I mean, an alibi like that.
Do you know who it was that was driving a car that did this?
I have no idea whatsoever.
And it's not your car or anything?
No, not my car. And it was in the M6 up north where it happened, in the Contraflow, apparently. And as I say, you know, no knowledge of it whatsoever.
So you weren't even registered? You weren't registered to that car?
No.
You got any enemies, Ed?
Quite a few.
Might be one of them, then. you want to go through them all, alphabetically, possibly?
Well, I'm just glad I've kept you awake anyway, but
that's... That is an interesting story.
Thanks
certainly. So what were you in prison for? Would you share that with us?
I was on remand, actually, and unfortunately was found not guilty, so was let out, so...
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. How long were you on remand for?
10 months.
Oh, it's a bit of a long time when you're not guilty, isn't it?
It is. It happened to me twice, unfortunately.
Twice?
Twice, yeah.
No smoke without fire, Ed.
I would agree with that, but everybody has to turn over a new leaf in life, you know?
And you're absolutely right.
What I've done, but still persecuted. The door's gone off 5 times this year, where I live, 5 times in this year alone.
The what? So the what, sorry?
The front door's been kicked off 5 times this year alone.
Why?
I've got one of those faces that just doesn't fit, obviously.
Could you send us a photograph of your face?
I could, yeah, I could.
If you could email us a photograph of your face, we'll put it on the website, decide whether or not it fits.
Whether it deserves a wanted, poster round it, yeah?
Yeah, actually, why not? No, well, not wanted. You're not guilty, right? Not wanted.
Okay, I'll send you one, John.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Could you sign it as well?
Certainly will.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks. Yeah. Criminals on the phone. Excellent. So, 0870 90 90 973, if you've got a customer service tale of woe. Which, frankly, I have many. But, Chris, through the glass there, was just saying to me, he saw a thing I wouldn't normally read anything out of the paper, but it's fine because Chris did. But it's an interesting thing. Remind us, Chris, what was it? You were reading this in the paper.
Yes.
About a fireman.
Yes.
What was it?
It's like an ex-serviceman's club, right?
Yeah.
They had a problem with their flagpole and they couldn't get the flag down.
Right.
So they rang their local fire service.
Yeah.
Who refused to go up the flagpole to get this flag down because it was a non-emergency situation and firemen are not allowed to use ladders in non-emergency situations due to health and safety reasons.
Is that true? That's my question.
I've read it in a paper.
Well, no then. But if firemen aren't allowed to go up their ladders unless it's a life-threatening situation.
That's the message that came across.
Interesting. 08709090973 is the number to call. If you are you a fireman? Is that true? Can that be done? Can it? 08709090973. Firemen not allowed up ladders unless it's a life-threatening situation. Nonsense is that. You can text us 84850. I think we've got other people play Warhammer 40,000. I think, I believe, at some point during the afternoon. We're also playing the Mystery Voice competition, which I think we've had loads of answers in. Is it Ken Livingstone? That's from Jane Ashford. It sounds a bit like Ian Lee, says Dean. Perhaps we could have another listen to it.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
I can tell you that's Simon Cowell, and he hates losing. But who is it? 84850 homes at lbc.co.uk. Is it Barbara Papa? That's from Alex in Ashted. Mystery Voice competition on LBC. Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade. We are playing that this afternoon for the radio, and I've got four high definitions to give away as prizes. They've got to go before the end of the programme. Leo, it seems, is already in with a chance of winning one of them. He's got the high score at the moment. If you think you can beat him on Warhammer 40,000 for the radio, 08709090973. Also, are you a fireman? Or do you, is it true that firemen aren't allowed to go up flagpoles? Necessarily, because it's a non-life-threatening flagpole. Are firemen allowed to go up ladders without it being a life-threatening situation? Something Chris asked me earlier during the news, and frankly, I didn't know the answer, but we figured, being the discerning listeners that you are, that you might. 08709090973. Line 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 14. Hello, is that Tony?
Hello, yes.
Hi, Tony. Can you hang on a sec? I'm just trying to work out what line you're on, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I've got to write it down, apparently. Because we've got to see which is the most popular line. Can you just bear with me a sec, Tony? Is that right?
No problem, no problem.
Okay, cheers, mate. Okay, hang on a sec. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Are you on 12, Tony?
I think I might be, yes.
Hang on just a sec. Let me just double check that. Oh, so I'll count it during this. Headlines with Claire Miller.
A court has heard how a man from Willesden plotted mad.
Don't forget, with Paul Ross this weekend, one lucky listener will win the chance to hang Saddam Hussein. You can be the rope puller at the event. It's exclusive to LBC, this. It's going to be shown on Channel 4, the whole execution. It will be hosted, of course, as I'm sure you know by now, reading in the press, by June Sarpong and Vernon Kay. The winner who receives full executioner training and a free hood. He'll pull the switch that releases the trapdoor that dumps Saddam through a hole on the end of a rope. It's showing as part of a special night on Channel 4 with extra coverage, Saddam Hanging Extra, The Big Drop. That's got celebrity interviews and unseen footage, and that, of course, is over on E4, hosted by Nikki from Big Brother. 08709090973 is the number to call if you want to... well, I still want to know if firemen are allowed up ladders or not, whether it's a life-threatening situation. Because apparently Chris read something in... I think he said the Mail. What was he doing reading the Mail? I had no idea he was a Nazi. But he saw that, and apparently it's something to do with firemen. Because Remembrance Sunday, a flag got stuck for next weekend, and some ex-servicemen were testing the flag, and it got stuck at the top of a flagpole. So they called the fire brigade to help them to go up there and just release it. And the fire brigade said they couldn't because they can only go up ladders in a life-threatening situation. Is that true? I've got no idea. 08709090973 if you know. Also, of course, we're talking about bad customer service because, frankly, I had no joy with a lawnmower incident and still haven't 2 months later, even though I've now got a reply from the managing director's office that says the same as their ridiculous staff said. Just backing each other up. My friend Andy had a dishwasher that they installed 2 weeks ago, him and his wife, 2 weeks ago, in the kitchen, plumbed in, where you'd expect, where the plumbing is, next to the sink. They come downstairs one morning, to the smell of sort of burning motor. Had a look. The motor, top of the dishwasher, burnt out. They think, well, that's... I can't do that after 2 weeks. That's ridiculous. So they called an engineer out, and he said it was because water had got in to the dishwasher. It's a dishwasher. Of course, water's got into it. They said, no, it's leaked into the motor. It shouldn't be near water, the dishwasher. It has to be plumbed in, you massive idiot. But battle is going on with customer service at the moment to see if they're going to replace it, because they said it was customer misuse, which is the same thing I got for my lawnmower. All I used it for was to mow a lawn. Apparently, that's customer misuse. Didn't say anything on the box. All the instructions about not using a lawnmower to mow a lawn. So I assumed it would be fine to do so. Anyway, if you've got a bad customer service experience to share, 0870, no, just get it off your chest, really, venting spleen, 0870 9090973. We're also, don't forget, playing Warhammer this afternoon, Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade, for the radio. Four high definitions to give away as prizes. If you want to play, Leo's in the lead at the moment, he has the high score on Warhammer. Do you think you can beat him? 0870 9090973. I also want to talk about nudie photographs, but before I do that, I think Darren's on the telephone. We lost Tony. Hello, Darren.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. We had Tony lined up, but then we lost the call.
Unlucky him.
I know. Isn't that a shame?
Definitely.
So, who are you, Darren?
I'm Darren.
Nice to
meet
you.
What else would you like to know?
I'd like to know everything about you, please. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, what do you do?
I'm a electrical contract engineer. I install sound and lighting equipment in bars.
Do you?
Yes.
Has anyone ever complained to you because it broke within no amount of time?
Oh, yeah, without doubt. Frequently. Yeah.
Do you, though, say it's their fault, or do you accept it and go, no, fair enough, it went wrong, I'll fix it?
Before you do anything, you find out exactly what did happen before you say anything.
Yeah.
And if it is their fault, then sometimes you have to be quite polite and explain to them where their shortcomings were and make sure it doesn't happen again. But you still have to fix it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that goes without saying. Otherwise, you don't get their custom ever again.
This is exactly, Darren, my point. Because I've had the short shrift from, a large DIY chain. I won't be going there again. And frankly, if one person listening to this afternoon doesn't go there again either, I'll be happy. On the basis of my experience.
Fair enough.
There you go. So, you phoned up to play Warhammer 40,000.
I have, yes.
Dawn of War.
Yes.
Dark Crusade.
Definitely.
For the radio.
For the radio.
Did you hear it earlier?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to have to explain it to you, aren't I?
You are, unfortunately so, sorry.
That's fine, because there's probably people just tuned in going, what the hell are they talking about? So I'll explain to you. What it is, it's the game Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade.
Yeah.
But instead of being for the PC.
Yeah.
It's for the radio.
Okay.
Right. So it's the 41st century.
Yeah.
The planet Tartarus.
Yeah.
Has been overrun by marauding, warmongering orcs.
Okay.
You, Darren.
Yeah.
Are a space marine of the special ops unit codenamed Blood Ravens.
Okay.
You've got a shotgun.
Yeah.
And you're wearing body armor.
Okay.
And your task is to muster your forces and crush the orc-based enemy.
Yeah.
Standing between you and mission success are, of course, armies of vicious orcs.
Obviously.
But also on the battlefield, human allies, household pets.
Yeah.
And ballet dancers.
And ballet dancers.
Yeah, for some reason.
Okay.
You've got five controls.
Yeah.
Do you want to write them down?
I've got a pencil over here somewhere.
Okay, I'll just wait for you. All right, ready?
This is good. Yeah, I mean, you've only got everybody listening on the radio.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll just wait for you to get you.
Okay, right, okay. So we've got five controls.
Right, five controls. Fight.
Fight.
Don't fight.
Don't fight.
Pick up, use.
Pick up, use.
Yeah, bang uselessly into wall.
Pick up, use, and bang uselessly into wall.
Yeah, or surreptitiously feel up.
Surreptitiously feel up. Yeah. Okay.
There you control your five controls, okay? And when the game begins, I'm going to guide you through the battle-scarred landscape of the planet Tartarus.
Yeah.
And I'm going to call out what pops up, and you've got to decide out of those controls what to do with it.
Okay, fair enough.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay, Helen will have chosen some inappropriate music for the gameplay.
Fantastic.
So let's see if we can find out what it is as we begin. Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio. That's just rubbish music.
What's going on?
We can't play.
Well, I'd fight the frog.
War, I'd kill the frog in the face. But we're stuck with it. We're stuck with it because, frankly, Helen's chosen it. Right, are you ready? God, it's okay. So rubbish. You ready to play?
Yes, go.
Okay, here we go. Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Pick up the news.
Interesting. Orc.
Bang useful into the walls. Yeah. Bang into the wall.
Health cube.
What was that?
Health cube.
Health cube? Ah, pick up.
Health cube.
Pick up news.
Health cube.
Pick up news.
No, you're full of health now. Ammo.
Ammo. Pick up news.
Human ally.
Human ally. Feel up unsuspiciously.
You've got to be faster than that. Hamster.
Hamster. Feel up.
Gerbil. Weird
fight.
Pervy man. Kitten.
Kitten.
Yeah.
Bang into wall.
Orc holding a kitten.
Okay.
Quick.
Suspiciously.
Quick. Orc biting a kitten.
Fight. Definitely.
Ballet
fight.
Dancer.
Right. Feel up.
Orc dressed as a ballet dancer.
Tricky. Pick up a news.
Orc not dressed as a ballet dancer, but still performing Swan Lake for your pleasure.
Can I just watch?
Human ally.
Human ally, don't fight.
Human ally kissing an orc with tongues.
Fight. Definitely.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc. Buying a DVD of Spooks from HMV.
Oh god, bang it into his wall.
Gerbil.
Well, I'll be nice, this one, fill it up.
Gerbil. Gerbil with a gun.
Pick up a news.
Ballet dancer.
Feel up again.
Ballet dancer armed with a gerbil.
Ooh, bang it into the wall.
Nudie ballet dancer.
We'll definitely feel up there.
Hamster.
fight.
Hamster.
I don't like hamsters. Fight it again.
Hamster.
Pick it up and use it.
Hamster.
Fight at the orcs.
Richard Gere. Yeah.
Ah, I see what you're doing there. You've got to be nice to him. Feel him up.
Lenny Bennett from ITV's Lucky Ladders.
Feel it up.
Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Human ally.
Human ally, don't
child,
fight.
Child.
Child, don't fight, don't
orc,
fight.
Child orc on a bike.
Ooh, fight.
Child.
No,
orc.
Fight.
Orc. Orc. Orc.
People who experience...
Orc. 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 Orc.
Fight.
Orc.
Fight.
Another orc.
Pick it up and fry him at the other orcs.
Hawk. Hawk? A hawk, yes, a hawk.
Bang him into the wall.
A hawk with an orc.
A hawk with an orc.
Yeah.
Pick up and use.
An orc. An orc with a pet hawk. Holding a fork.
Holding a fork.
Yeah.
Has he got a bottle from a cork as well?
No, he's got a cork from a bottle, you idiot.
A cork from a bottle.
Yeah.
Okay, fight him.
Game over.
Oh.
We're going to come back and I'm going to add your scores up. We'll talk to you after the news headlines with Claire Miller. Brilliantly, obviously we've just found this out, but Chris hasn't really done his job properly for all his work. Because Chris said, I read this thing in the paper about firemen not being able to go up a ladder unless it's to do with an emergency, right? And I said, did you? That's interesting. I know, ridiculous. That's why I spoke to him about it about 10 minutes ago. Not realising, I mean, and it's fair enough, it's legitimate that I might not realise because I don't get up in the morning. So I didn't hear all this, Nick Ferrari cover this. But Chris, you...
Yeah.
Should have known that. You're a producer. You're supposed to be across this programme. I'm not. It's not my job to be across this programme. I just turn up half drunk like normal. But you are supposed to know what you're doing. And then you just pick a thing that's... And I've just looked at the LBC website. It's the big story on there that Nick Ferrari went up a flagpole and did it for them.
I was asleep this morning as well.
What sort of... It was on Friday.
I was asleep then too.
Now we're getting loads of texts coming in going, you muppet, Chris. Don't you know about your own stuff? No, just says Chris.
John.
Where's the one that says about John? Nowhere. Just says Chris. This was covered, admittedly, whoever's written this has put Nick Ferris, but that's fine. Nick, and he went and got the lanyard down. Yeah, we know that now, because we've seen it on the website. Like you should have done, Chris, before you told me to talk about it on the radio, you massive clown. You made me look foolish. You've let yourself down. You've let me down. You let the station down. I hope someone's let Nick Ferrari down, otherwise... It was... Still, other people are saying, if it is true, then, what about, how would they practice? How do they practice in a non-life-threatening situation? Then the stuff about cats. I'm not even going to cover it anymore, because frankly, we know now that Nick Ferrari's done it. But you, being very unprofessional, has let everyone down. Anyway, Darren's still on the phone. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Congratulations on Warhammer.
It was interesting.
It was interesting, and you've got a very high score.
Have I?
You got 14 out of 20, which beat Leo.
Fantastic.
You got 14 out of 20. Do you want to put your... It's a computer game. Do you want to put your initials in?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. No, hang on. It doesn't work like that, does it? If you've got... Remember, if you've played a computer game...
Okay.
I'm going to... You know you have to spin through the alphabet. So I'm going to read the alphabet out.
Okay.
Have you got a middle name?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to do it three times. You have to say stop when it gets to your letters, right? So first name first. You ready?
Yep.
Just the initial. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, G. I stopped on G. Okay, now your middle name. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, P. Right, stopped on P. G, P. And your surname, ready?
Yeah.
A, B, C, D.
Stop, yeah.
D, right. G, P, D. Well done, Darren.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. If no one beats you, and indeed Leo, you will win. We will send you a high definition. I've got four of those to give away this afternoon.
Wait, a high definition skybox?
I don't know. Let's have a look. It just says high definition. Hang on. I'll just have a look at the box over here. Hang on.
Or high definition TV, or?
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute, Darren. I'll have a look.
Professionals at work.
Just says high definition. It's not even in a box. It comes in a tube. Have you got any high definition? Apparently. Have you got any high definition?
Technically high definition is, well, is, high definition is just the connection that you use for either a TV or for a skybox or for a home theatre system.
Don't know. Just says high definition.
Could be a TV.
Might be.
Fantastic.
See what happens, eh?
Well, hopefully.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well done for playing. If you want to play Warhammer 40,000, Dawn of War, Dark Crusade for the radio, 0870 90 90 973. I've got four high definitions to give away this afternoon, and you will get to put your initials in, and then we'll see who's got the high score at the end of the programme. On the... Mystery Voice Competition as well. Of course, Mystery Voice Competition. I just keep forgetting. Well, I can tell you this is Simon Cowell telling us that he doesn't like losing, but who is this?
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
Okay, who's that, if you think you know? 84850, homes at lbc.co.uk. Jay.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know I was on air then.
No, you're not yet. You will be in a moment.
Oh, all right.
Okay, we'll talk to you in a moment. If you just hang on. Is it Jay?
It's Jay,
okay,
yeah.
Hang on a sec. I'll put you on hold, then I'll put you through to John in a second. Is that right? Jay, is that all right?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, hold on then. Okay, Jay, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, yeah.
Cool. I just wanted to talk about customer service, yeah?
Yeah.
I think I had the longest ongoing bad customer service on the planet. If someone can beat this, I'll be surprised.
Well, we'll see.
But basically, tell a long story short, me and my family...
If you cut... Hang on, Jay. If you cut the long story short, then it automatically becomes not the longest customer service story on the planet.
Well, in duration, chronologically, it is.
Okay, go on then.
It went over 3 years.
That's a long time.
But I don't want you yawning. So basically, the story is...
Right.
Myself, and my mother, and my father...
Yeah.
...strangely decided to buy cars from one car dealership.
Yeah.
But on their database, they could never get anything right. They had it all down as we all had each other's cars... Even to the extent that I used to go down to get my car repaired, I'd hand in my keys, and then one time I actually handed in my keys and said, hey, hold on 1 minute, I've just got to get something from my car, I'll be back in 2 minutes. Came back down, and they had my name written down as Mrs. Baskaran. And I was like, hey, I said...
Is that your mum's name?
Well, yeah, she's a Mrs., I'm a Mr.
Right, okay.
Goodness.
We just need to make that clear.
And I said, hey, I said, did I just change gender as I walked up the stairs? I said,
well, hang on, were you dressed, are you a tranny?
I'm not a tranny, no.
Okay.
You know, I'm just a regular guy, trousers, shirt.
Trousers, shirt, yeah.
So I was wearing a suit that day, I was going to work.
Okay.
And I just said, can you not get anything right? So you send me mail shots for the wrong car. You tell me my NOT's due when I'm not even owning that. How are you getting my gender wrong? Sorry, Mrs. Baskaran. I said, mister. I don't know if they're wind up or what, but literally the thing went on for 3 years. It was just, it was like a circus there.
You know what you should...
What was that?
You know what you should have done? You should have just called their bluff and just gone up there in a dress.
Really?
Yeah.
They'd probably hide that, though.
Well, that would be funny, wouldn't it? If you just go, if you'd have said, all right, you know, fine, then just turn up in a dress and then see what happens. It's at least adding a new dimension to the role of customer service. And then if they start messing, you know, messing you around like we know customer service do, then you could accuse them of being genderist or something.
Well, I thought they'd been genderist already. I'm a male. I'm a practicing male. And
you're only practicing.
There you go,
Jay. If you're only practicing, that means you're not good at it because you're practicing. So you're obviously not a fully qualified male because you're still practicing. So they've picked up on that. And that's why they're calling you Mrs. Birmingham. Yeah?
It's their bus cow, that's why.
What?
I'll play the war game.
It's not the best phone connection in the world, is it? Can you play the war game, did you say?
Yes.
You can, but could you call, we'll call you back in a bit, when you've got better reception.
Okay, do that then,
hopefully. That's all right. Where are you now?
I'm driving towards Shelford, so
right.
Call me back, yeah?
Right, it's rubbish. There's no coverage there. There's not even any electricity.
Just call me back and we'll play the war game.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Is he gone? Let's not call him back. Okay, who's the line? Tony, hooray! Tony, I'm really sorry. I meant to talk to you earlier, of course, and then it was the news and then it all went wrong.
It did.
Sorry.
But I won't put a complaint for your customer service.
I wouldn't bother. They're rubbish here. Go on.
My son, about a year and a half ago, he was on a bus, he had an Oyster card,
yep.
And they basically said he was older than what he was, or I'm not quite sure because his mum dealt with it, but basically he had about 80 quid on the Oyster card.
Yeah.
They took the card off him straight away,
yeah.
There and then, so even if he had to get another two buses home, he wouldn't have been able to. And then plus, when we tried to complain about it, sort it out, they wanted a receipt of the money that we put onto the Oyster card, which we never kept.
Yeah.
And we lost about 80 quid and had to redo it all again, and it took about 2 or 3 days to try and sort this out.
Did you say
they took it off him? They took the card off him.
Who did?
There and then, and my son said that he was quite rude and abrupt about it. It wasn't, you know, and my son is he's not a rude kid at all anyway, so I'm going to say that, but no, they took the card off him straight away and that was it.
Well, who took the card off him?
A conductor guy that was checking on people's tickets.
And he wasn't old enough to have one?
I can't remember, because my son left school, he was 18, but I think he said that, I can't remember.
It's not an age limit,
now, but
cards,
it was, they said he was, I think it was older than what he was younger than what he should have been. I can't really remember, I've got it all muddled up now, but basically, they did take the card off him there and then, and that was it.
Right, I'm glad that you, in the time it took for you to, when the phone cut off and then you phoned back, you've got that story figured out for us, Tony. That's, that's helping a lot. But I can't, there's not an age limit on Oyster cards, I don't think.
No.
Something's gone a bit awry. But also, but that, you're right, I mean, that's annoying. Now, I had to prove, when I had my Oyster card in my pocket with my phone, as I was saying earlier, in case.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
And my Oyster card stopped working, and this happened once, and you know, I took it to the man, and they said, oh, faulty, got me a new one, which took ages, of course.
Yeah.
And then they said, how much is on the Oyster card? And I said, I was honest, I went, I don't know, there's about 15 quid left on it, sorry. And they went, all right, 15 quid. Didn't want proof from me.
The next time it happened, Tony,
there's about, you know, 10 quid left on it. He said, how much is on it this time? I went, 200.
Yeah,
he didn't believe me at that time. I have to say, he went no. Nonsense. But this is the thing: three times that my car went wrong, and then only on the third go did they say, "Where do you keep it in your pocket with your mobile phone?" Yeah, I do.
That's where
you're going wrong, mate.
Yeah, no, I thought it's, you know, just a bit customer service wise, the way they treated him and the way you know, they took it there and then you had to prove that the money that was on the card, that, you know, we don't keep receipts like that. You buy, you know, you throw them away, basically.
you're right there. Thanks, Tony. You'll also be aware, of course, this week the hand luggage restrictions for travelling on airlines have been revised. I've got that updated list, which we are obliged to bring you. This is if you're travelling on an airline out of Britain in the next few days. And this is the revised list for what you can now take in your hand luggage. No dangerous liquids, no dangerous solids, no dangerous solid liquids like the T-1000 out of Terminator 2. All bladders must now be checked in and put in the hold. Breasts must be entirely emptied of milk. All passengers to be put in hold. Only passports allowed in cabin. Bombs will not be allowed in hand luggage and must be packed in suitcases. Keep bombs in a secure box or tin. Use them one at a time, replacing the lid immediately. Read the instructions carefully using a torch. Never a naked flame. Light bombs at arm's length using a taper. Stand well back and never return to one after it's been lit. Keep all animals and pets indoors. That's your revised list of hand baggage restrictions as issued by the Department of Transport. 0870 9090973 is the number to call us this afternoon. You can text us on 84850. Email homes@lbc.co.uk. And Chris, you've got a chance to redeem yourself now. Because you know how you amateurishly ruined a bit of the programme earlier by giving us a phone-in topic that had been covered extensively elsewhere on this network. You're aware that happened?
A little bit.
Yeah. So, I'm going to also... And this might go wrong again, because I realise it's you.
Yes.
But, your girlfriend...
Yes.
You're keeping something from her, aren't you?
A little bit.
You're keeping a secret. So I'm going to tell that, as you told me earlier, and I'm going to tell that now to as punishment
right.
for messing up the show earlier like you did.
Sorry, John.
Apology too late. I'm going to tell them anyway. What it is that... how long have you been going out with your girlfriend, Chris?
Over 2 years.
Oh, that's right. So, I think that's just established, you know, the level of... the relationship. And you were clearing out some stuff in your bedroom at the weekend?
It was the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you came across a photograph of an ex-girlfriend of yours from longer than 2 years ago.
Please don't do this, John.
And what you did... You should have thought that before you messed it up earlier. And what you did was you knew full well that your girlfriend would make you get rid of that photograph. You knew that she would say... She would say, you don't need that anymore, we've been going out 2 years, get rid of the photograph. And because you knew that, you snuck the photograph into your bag and you brought it into work to hide it.
I did.
And she, until now, doesn't know that.
No.
No. And so why did you do that then? Why couldn't you bear to be parted from the photograph of an ex-girlfriend who doesn't mean much to you anymore, presumably? Or do you hold a little soft spot for her? Is that what you say by keeping the photograph?
Well, it's because it holds happy memories, doesn't it?
Is it a nudie photograph?
No.
What was she doing in the photograph?
Smiling.
She could nudie smile.
No, there's definitely clothes. Definitely clothes in the photo.
That's fine. But it's interesting, because I we were talking about this, and I sincerely hope that gets you into trouble.
Cheers.
Yeah. But we were talking about this because I said as well, this, and this is going back years and years and years, but I had a photograph of an ex-girlfriend when I was a student that, you know, in underwear, if I'm honest with you.
Nice one.
And, you know, we split up, still got the photograph. What gentleman wouldn't? Still got it. And then the girlfriend after her at the time found the photograph and said, you're going to have to get rid of this photograph. You're going to have to get rid of this photograph. I don't think it's right or appropriate that you're keeping a photograph of your ex-girlfriend in her underwear within the house. And I was like, well, okay, that's fair enough. And she stood over me. I couldn't sneak it into my bag and take it into work, Chris, like you, but I had to tear up that photograph and burn it in front of her because she was a girl and she wasn't prepared to have that photograph around. You know, which... But then, a few years later, I split up with that girl, the one who made me burn the photograph.
Yeah.
So technically... I could have just kept the photograph and then just... Because I might have been honest. I could have said at the beginning, I could have gone, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to chuck you in a couple of years, so why not let me keep the photograph? Because it's not going to matter. And then, you know, I'll take some of you as well because I'll just have a stash of them later.
Yeah.
Maybe I could have said that. Not that I would. Not a perv. But my point is I had to get rid of the photograph. Now, is it appropriate to keep a photograph of your ex, be it girlfriend or boyfriend... It may be in a state of undress, maybe not. Around, as a memento...
Memento.
As a memento, in any way at all, is it appropriate to keep that when you've split up with them and you're staying with someone else? Have you got a photograph that you keep that is of an ex? Maybe it is a secret. You can give us a call. Don't have to give us your real name. 08709090973. Or are you a girl, or man one, that objects to your ex having a photograph? Not your ex, your partner. Having a photograph of their ex still lying around. Is it an issue? I don't know. Just a thought. Either way, it'll help get Chris into trouble. 0870 9090973. Text us 84850. Email Holmes at lbc.co.uk. Good afternoon to you there. You there. I'm John Holmes, in for Ian Lee.
When the people are
Me. Yes, so we can get Chris into even more trouble. Do you have a photograph of an ex-partner that you keep around the house or your bodily person, I don't know, that your current partner would object to if they knew? Do they know? Are they trying to make you get rid of it? Does that apply to you? Maybe you sneak it. Maybe you've got the photo. Maybe you're the partner on the receiving end. You want them to get rid of the photo and they won't. Male, female, doesn't matter. I'm guessing, and I might be wrong, and you can tell me if I am, but I'm guessing that it's more likely that men would keep a photograph of their ex-girlfriend around than a girl would keep a photograph of their ex-boyfriend around. I'm just guessing. But, you know, you may know different. 0870 9090973. For that. We're also still talking about bad customer service, of course. Because I'm still irritated about my lawnmower and B&Q. If there's anyone from B&Q, actually, listening, why don't you call and tell me about things that aren't fit for purpose and customer misuse? Let's put the money where the mouth is and have the call on the radio air. Probably. Mark. Hello.
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 Good evening.
Good evening. Where are you calling from, Mark?
Yeah, well, I'm in Billericay at the moment, on the way home in Essex.
Okay, good. What do you do, Mark?
Yeah, well, I lay floors. I'm a floor layer.
Well, I guess that. You didn't need to give me both parts of that. You could have said, you could have said either, I lay floors. I'd gone, he's a floor layer.
Well, just to make sure you got that clear that I lay floors.
We've all got that clear now. Thank you. What sort of floors? All floors?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Got the vault, yeah. Keeps me busy.
What floor were you laying today?
A bit of antique oak today.
Of an antique oak?
Antico flooring, yeah.
Oh. Is that difficult? Yeah. Is it the most difficult of floors to lay? What's the most difficult of floors to lay?
Well, it's probably one of the toughest ones to lay, yeah.
Yeah.
Quite hard work, intricate work, design boulders and whatnot.
Fair enough. What's the easiest floor to lay?
Probably the cushion floor, isn't it? Slap it down and pack it in.
Yeah, that's what I'd have said. That's what I do, I've got one in. So, Mark, are you talking photographs?
Yeah, well, you just made me laugh, really, because...
On this programme, Mark, I have to tell you, that's a first, so thank you for that.
Yeah, well, no, it's the way you were talking about it, which made me really laugh, because I've been with my partner over 20 years.
Yeah.
But she and I have both got photo albums from previous boyfriends, girlfriends, from years gone past.
Yeah.
And we don't know, hold any issues or problems with it whatsoever.
No.
See, I don't get them out and look at them on a regular basis. I mean, I'm lost in a bag somewhere, I expect. But
yeah, I mean, a bit weird if you both sat around every evening with a glass of wine, well, or, you know, or special brew, whatever, late floor layers drink. But if you just sat around with her of an evening and just go, should we get the photos of her exes out? That would be a bit weird, wouldn't it, Mark?
It would be weird, but I can tell you now.
Unless, right, go on.
I can tell you now. If we pull the photos out, right, we could both sit there and go, my God, what did you see in him, or what did you see in her?
I know.
Now, I laugh.
Yeah, well, you could, but that's probably not a good question to ask, because she might surprise you with an answer, you know, that you don't want to hear, you know.
Well, that, yeah, right now, isn't it?
Much. But I say that you don't, you know, it's not the sort of thing, you know, that you would necessarily want to do to pass the time of an evening, but I can see... I'm running out of time here because I can hear a news jingle. But Mark, you've kind of opened up the debate a little more there. It is acceptable to keep them in...
It's a really good debate, because if you love your person you're with, what does it matter?
Exactly right. Unless, of course, they're all nudie ones.
Well, I want to say, I've got a lovely picture of Emma Bunton signed. I bought off of eBay yonks ago.
Oh, I love Emma Bunton.
My computer.
I met Emma Bunton on Saturday.
Did you?
I'll tell you about that after the news. LBC 97.3, John Holmes sitting in this chair for Mr. Ian Lee.
On FM.
84850 is the text number, and Dave has used that by pushing the numbers in that order into his phone. And sent this message. I've got a pic of an ex, picture, he means, of an ex from 16 years ago. My wife doesn't know, though, because it's in my wallet. That's from Dave. Which is obviously also suggesting that Dave's wife doesn't ever go near his wallet, which is remarkable. John, I have photos of my ex, and my current partner has no problem with that. They are a part of my past and a part of who I am. And I kept them because my ex had a much big... That's manager in Kennington. Mark, are you still on the phone there?
Yeah, I'm still here, John.
I'm not keeping you from laying a floor, am I?
No, I'm sitting outside a public house. I won't go in now, not, but perhaps I won't.
Nah, well, you could go, you know, if you, you've got more of a drive home left, have you?
No, only about 20 minutes, not too far. Just got the A12.
That's all right. You could go in and have a Diet Cola.
No, I'll probably wait till I get home.
Yeah, yeah. And then just get mashed out your head on vodka as usual.
No, I've been on that all weekend, so I'm a quiet one tonight.
Yeah, sit round with that special brew that I mentioned. Get the old photo albums out, you and your girlfriend or wife, Mark, was it?
No, wife.
Wife, yeah.
I can't believe it's such a debate, really. I mean, I can't see what the problem is with it. That's why I had to phone, because I just found it so funny what you were saying.
Is it? I mean, you see, there's one thing, Mark, like you, who keeps them in a photo album in the loft or something, because that's, you know, fair enough. But then you've got people like Dave here keeping a pic of an ex from 16 years ago in his wallet. Is that weird?
I'd say that's probably bordering on weird.
It's borderline, isn't it? Because he's going to get in trouble, like Chris, out there.
Well, he could do, because what can happen is he could have had, you know, not being funny, he could have a little fall at work or something or other, and he gets taken to the hospital, and they take all his belongings up for him. The girlfriend goes up there, and they go, "Here's his belongings, you know, can you take this home and wash his undies?"
Yeah.
And she goes to his wallet and finds it. That's when it causes a big problem.
It'd be worse if she went through his undies and found it.
Well, for even worse.
If he got it sellotaped to the front of the inside of his undies, that'd be worse, Dave. Mark, well, he's Dave, you're Mark. Weird. That'd be definitely weird. Although, you know, could, maybe people do that.
It could be interesting.
Yeah. Do you, but you don't know the whereabouts of the photo albums, essentially? They're in the loft, as far as you're concerned.
They're in the loft, they're probably in a cupboard somewhere. I couldn't actually, if you asked me to go and get them out now and find them, I probably couldn't, but they're definitely around, and I know they're there.
Any, you know, shall we say, more personal photography in those, any of those? Cast your mind back?
I'm trying to cast my mind back as you're saying that, and I don't think I've got any risque pictures, as you said.
Have you got any, I'm only asking, I'm not interested, Mark, I'm just asking on behalf of the listeners who I know will be. Risque pictures of your current wife there?
I probably have, yeah. I can certainly remember taking a few salty photos over the years.
Good man. Do you know where they are?
Probably in the photo album with all the others.
Just lump them all together?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll look the same with the clothes on.
It all goes in and, you know, you never know when you might want to get them out and have a look.
Yeah. When you're home alone.
Well.
Anyway, thanks, Mark, for that call. I think we'll leave that there. For obvious reasons. Steve is in Rainham. Hi, Stephen Rainham. You all right?
Hello, John. How you going, mate?
I'm all right, thank you very much.
Listen, mate, about this B&Q thing.
Oh, my lawnmower.
Yeah, get over it, mate.
I can't get over it, mate. I'll keep getting letters from them now. I wish I could.
Get over it. Get yourself another lawnmower. Preferably a petrol one.
Steve, I'll tell you this. I have.
Oh, here you go.
I've done it. Because, you know, I should have done that in the first place. Like, everybody told me.
Yeah.
I went out, I spent a lot more money than the other one on a nice petrol. And do you know what? It's brilliant.
There you go, mate.
And I went to a lawnmower specialist. Still want my money back from the others. But anyway, I went to a specialist. I didn't go to, you know, a chain. I went to a mower centre. And I told them my tale of woe. And do you know what?
What?
They said, what? You had an electric one? And I went, yeah. And he said, look round this place. And I did. And he went, do you see any of those here? No, I don't. No, because they're rubbish. That's what he told me. So I bought a petrol one, and it's fantastic.
Well, you've done the right thing. Believe you me, do not go into B&Q's, mate, for nothing.
No.
Honestly, I mean, I'm not allowed to say that, I know.
No, you're not. No, we'll edit this out when it goes out, now. It's fine.
But you know what it's like, mate. B&Q are the worst people in the world. By saying off them, you can't get anything back out of them. You know what it's like.
Yeah, they're not that bad, you know. Well,
oh, they are, mate.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm sure other ones are... I'm sure other ones are equally bad, Chris. All of the other ones that we can name. Yeah, I think we legally have to say that. But my personal opinion of them has gone downhill. Personally, I'm not saying they're a bad company. My personal opinion has gone down because I was shoddily treated, in my opinion. Are we legally watertight on that now? We're still not. But okay, but anyway, that's fine. But, you know, I'll get to the bottom of it. I'll keep you posted, Steve, if I ever get my money back. But in the meantime, I've taken the advice of you and many others and got a petrol one from somewhere else.
You're an absolute star, John. Have a good day, yeah?
And you, sir. Thank you very much for your
nice
call.
See you later, mate.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. I might not be here tomorrow because I may be in prison for crimes against the DIY shops. 84850 is the text number. homes@lbc.co.uk. I'm actually going to give any DIY company the right to reply. I'm not having a go. I'm saying come on the radio and let's discuss it like gentlemen. If I had a gauntlet, I would throw it down. I don't. I have a book that I found in the corner that, according to Chris, is James O'Brien's, and it's simply called The Curse of Celebrity. Well, I found it in the corner. I haven't read it. Obviously, rubbish. But I haven't got the gauntlet to throw down, so I'm going to throw this book down instead as a challenge. If someone wants to come on and talk about it, then do. That made more noise than I thought. It knocked the lid off the bin. Marco is on a telephone line.
I am.
What line are you on, Marco?
On my own mobile line, mate. Speaking through Bluetooth from my navigator.
What? Speaking to me through your navigator?
Yeah.
Are you a World War II pilot?
It's Bluetooth, isn't it? And it goes through the navigator.
You've got a navigator?
Well, navigator. That told me the directions, a GPS unit.
So what do you do? Are you operating the guns?
No, I'm just a site manager, mate.
You're a what?
Site manager.
You're a site manager?
I am, yeah.
Do you not have guns?
No.
What site do you manage?
Actually, saying that, John, as I've lived in Italy for many years,
yes.
I did my army in Italy, my service, my year of service.
Yes.
And I did learn to use a gun out there.
Yes.
But again, that was in the past, mate. I've never used one since.
Have you got a photograph of the gun?
No, I haven't. Why do you want to see a photograph of the gun?
Well, because I was thinking, if you've got a you said you haven't used one for years, but if you've got a photograph of your current gun,
I'm asking
if you've bought a new one since and you keep the old one around, does the new gun get jealous?
No, sorry, mate. But, John, I want to know about Emma Bunton, mate. What is this about you met her
yesterday? Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about Emma Bunton, wasn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I will. I will tell you.
Before you do that, though, I want to know about Mark, the floor layer that you had on the phone before.
Okay, but hang on a sec.
All right, mate.
Do me a favour. Count to five.
Four.
Go, yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
Zero.
Thanks.
Hi, my name's David Moyes.
John Holmes. I am... Yeah. Did you want me to read this out now? But we've just had an advert for this. That's just simply repeating the same information twice, Chris.
Leave it till later.
Is that what you want? Are you sure?
Leave it till later.
It's up to you. It's just about Nick Ferrari's... thing. Heathrow thing.
I'll give it to you again.
Later. So professional today. Marco, are you still there?
Hello, John.
Hello. Thanks for holding there.
Well, mate.
Yeah. What were you saying? Flooring. Something to do with flooring.
Stop question, yeah. I need to ask if you could kindly get that Mark gentleman to phone back.
Yeah.
I need to ask him a question about a floor.
Have you got a badly laid floor?
Yeah, because on my previous job, I wore the same Antico flooring.
Yep, yep.
It was about a year ago, and now my clients are complaining that the wear and tear seems to be in excess of what Antico recommends.
Right.
To ask the gentleman, Mark, what his opinion of it is, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm sure if Mark rings back, then we'll get you both back and you can have this discussion on the radio.
Won't you phone him, please?
Well, could we phone him?
Yeah.
If you like, probably. Or he can phone us if he's still listening, which I know he probably is. So then we can sort that out once and for all. Because at the end of the day, in this you know, world of terrorism and climate change, Marco...
We help each other
wear and tear of Antico flooring... is an important issue, and we will help each other out, because that's the kind sort of people we are here at LBC 97.
Where's Ian, John?
He's stuck in a fight today, I'm afraid.
In a fight?
He started a fight earlier.
Oh.
At the weekend, he just got stuck in it, can't get out.
that's not in America, is it?
He's trapped in a fight. I don't know where it is. They don't give me that information. They just said he's stuck in a fight, can I come in? So I said, all right.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Do you, As the person that people are complaining to about the flooring,
are you
a good customer service person to deal with? As we're talking about that as well today.
No, I'm just a very, very caring person. That's
what it is, really. Yeah. So you know, you just want to get the job done right.
I want my clients to be happy.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's the sort of thing that makes the world a better place, Marco.
Yeah.
To be honest with
you. It is indeed. I agree. I can't agree more, John.
Thank you for.
Where's this Mark? Yeah. Hasn't he phoned in yet?
He hasn't phoned in yet. But if he does, then we'll find out. We'll get you back and put both together, and you can have a bit of a kiss and stuff.
Right,
I mean, a chat about floors.
All right, mate.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, John.
Right, go away now, John. Here's a twist. Is it really bad? Is it really bad to have a photo of my ex partner's ex? Hang on. Ex partner. I took it to defeat lingering wallet exploration, and I still have it. Although I don't have him. That's from Anna Marie. And Anna-Marie, could you call us? Because I want to hear about that, because I don't really understand a word of it. That you stole a picture of your ex-partner's ex and kept that. That is weird. So why don't you call us, Anna-Marie? Because I'd like to talk to you about that. 0870 90 90 973. John, someone's texted in here. I don't have pictures of my ex. That's Paul from Hove. Thanks, Paul, for that. A number of friends of mine lost the deposit on a student house. Oh, that's good. A number of friends, when they lost the deposit on a student house, they found pictures of the landlord and his wife in saucy pose. And before they left, somewhere in the house, they photocopied them and posted them on trees by the house. That is good. That is good. That's like an act of revenge. I like acts of revenge. We talked about it a bit the other day with exes, but I might talk about it tomorrow a bit, maybe. You know, because that's a good act of revenge. Acts of revenge, maybe, tomorrow, if you've ever carried out some sort of terrible revenge. I don't know. John, I don't have a photo, but I do keep my ex in a box under the stairs, as yet undiscovered in our house. It's from Paul in Harlesden. Simon.
Hello.
Is here. Hello.
How are you?
I'm right. How are you?
I'm good.
Well, it's been very nice to hear. Thank you very much.
Are you having Bloody Marvelous fun?
Yeah, no, very marvelous fun. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, very good. What do you want?
What do you mean, what do I want?
What do you want?
For your ex's stories.
Excellent, good work. Have you got an ex?
Well, after the harvester treatment, then yes.
Yeah. That's only one girlfriend, though, Simon, isn't it?
I know, but...
And she only lasted a day.
Yeah.
No, 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, first ex-girlfriend,
Your first sex girlfriend, did you say?
My first ex.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I set fire to the photos in front of her.
Did she make you do that, Simon?
No, I did it off my own accord.
Why? Simon, you're rubbish with women. You've got no idea. First, you take them to a harvester. That's which we know, as we've established, is not going to get you anywhere near their salad cart. There's no unlimited visits for you to the salad cart. Because you took them to a harvester. And now you're telling me you volunteered to burn the pictures of your ex in front of your then-girlfriend, who eventually
is
going with him.
There is very good mitigating circumstances.
Go on, then, share them with us.
Well, she used to hit me and she cheated on me 10 times.
She used to hit you?
Yes.
And she cheated on you 10 times?
Yes.
Simon?
Yes, mate.
If you took me to a harvester, I would cheat on you 11 times and kick you.
Yeah, but I spent money on her.
And at a harvester?
The world.
Doesn't count.
There wasn't a harvester for her.
Where'd you take her? Beef Eater?
No.
Angus Steakhouse?
No, I took
Garfunkel's.
A 3-star restaurant, actually.
The which one?
A 3-star restaurant.
A 3-star restaurant?
Yeah.
I didn't know they measured them in stars. Yeah, well, apart from Michelin. Oh, you took her to a 3-star Michelin restaurant?
Yes.
Not a Garfunkel's, then?
No.
Which Michelin 3-star restaurant was it?
There's one in Loch Bottom called, I think it's Chapter One.
All right. Well, why then did you take her there, but yet the girl you were trying to impress, to a harvester?
Because the first one, I've been with for 3 years.
Well, you haven't got to impress her anymore, have you?
Well, I still like to keep it fresh and romantic.
Yeah, but she just kicks your face in and cheats on you 10 times.
Oh, well, you know.
Is that her idea of fresh and romantic?
I think so, yeah.
Oh. So you've got no pictures of exes because she made you burn the lot?
Well, I have my second ex-girlfriend. I still have a picture of her.
Oh, yeah.
On what a shelf in my front room.
It's on a shelf in your front room?
Yeah, 3 years and two ex-girlfriends later.
And you just keep it on a shelf in the front room?
Yeah.
That's a bit
of fame, isn't it?
Well, that's a bit weird, isn't it? No wonder girls won't go out with you and they chuck you. If you invite even if Harvester Girl had said, oh, actually, you know, I will come back to yours for for a coffee, anything to take the taste away, I'll come back. And then into the front room you go, and she goes, well, who's that? Oh, that's my ex-girlfriend. Right, I'll be going then, bye.
Yeah.
You're your own worst enemy, Simon.
Oh, no, it's not going well.
Aren't you? Your own worst enemy.
Oh, maybe I'll learn one day. No. I hope.
Are you still on the search?
I am still on the search, yeah.
So if anyone listening doesn't mind Harvester, wants to be wooed by a prawn cocktail.
I'll go up market from Harvester. Maybe. Like I said, we'll go Burger King this time.
You've got the steaks. Vanessa?
Oh, hello, John.
Would you be wooed by a Harvester restaurant by Simon?
No way, no. It takes a lot more than that.
Would it? What would it take with you? Kebab?
There's a lovely organic pizza place in Beaconsfield I've got my eye on.
Are you?
For a snack, yeah.
Would that allow, you know, would you, you know, for an organic pizza?
Well, I don't know about that.
On a first date, Vanessa, would you?
No. Never on a first date.
No. See, Simon? See, even Vanessa doesn't like you.
Oh, I feel so bad now.
Vanessa, would you think it was weird if you, you know, now you're married, Vanessa, aren't you?
I'm now divorced.
Oh, well, there we go. So, well, are you single now, Vanessa?
Yes, I am. Happily so.
Simon, this could be your moment. If he promises not to take you to a harvester, but yet to, you know, maybe the Michelin-starred restaurant that he once took someone who beat him up to, would you, perhaps, Vanessa, go on a date with him?
Well, maybe if it was abroad.
Blimey. You don't want much, do you?
I go abroad quite a lot anyway.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, but I mean, it might be that Vanessa, the furthest Vanessa goes far, perhaps, on a first date, according to how far you take her round the world. Perhaps that's Vanessa's rules. Is that your rules, Vanessa?
No, not
at all. France,
no.
You might get her to hold hands. Spain, possibly, you know, under the jumper. I don't know, I'm just suggesting that this is what it might be like. I'm not casting aspersions. I'm not casting aspersions, Vanessa, on you at all.
I hope not.
I'm going to go to a thing, but do stay there, because I will come back and talk to you. LBC 97.3. LBC 97.3. 08709090973 is the number. Vanessa?
Yes.
Hello. I've got not very long here, because I've got to go to the news headlines, but...
It's only a quickie.
But is it?
Yes.
Well, can you do it in 15 seconds?
I can, yes.
Go on then, go.
I would say you've got every grounds to get a total refund. If you have a product, if it's up to 6 months old...
5 seconds.
Yeah, you have to take it back and say you have to prove that there is mistreatment of it.
One. Available. Email in at homes@lbc.co.uk. John, this is from Les. Not only have I got pictures of my ex-girlfriend in my wallet... I also have a few of her limbs in my freezer. Yeah, not sure she'll read that. John, this is text here. Emma Bunton. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you about Emma Bunton, wasn't I? I suppose I could do that. I glammed it up. I didn't really meet her. I just saw her in a foyer. It's not as exciting as I made out believe, is it? But I do love her, in case anyone wondered. I do love Emma Bunton quite a lot. I think she's getting married to Jade out of Damage, whatever that means. But I do love her, in case she's listening. And could we get rid of her as a guest this week? Chris?
I can try.
Let's get Bunton.
What are you going to say to her?
Well, I'll just try and kiss her.
How many times?
Up to four.
Where?
In the studio. Ben's on the phone. Hello, Ben.
Hello, John.
Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Hello, Ben. You alright?
Not really.
Oh, woo. Why?
I'm a bit confused. And right. I just wanted to, I don't know what you were talking about this evening, but I figured LBC is listened to by Londoners and maybe somebody else has seen what I'm saying.
Is it Emma Bunton?
No, it's not Emma Bunton.
Isn't it?
No.
Would you like to see Emma Bunton?
Not really. She's not my sort.
And she, what's your sort?
More Scary Spice.
Really?
Yeah.
She's like a monster.
I know, but she's
like a
scary.
Like a big dirty monster, there.
Well, that's the whole point.
What was that?
Well, sorry, it's my kid.
All right. All right.
Can I get to the point of what I was phoning for?
Go on, then.
If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Go on.
Right, it's... At Saturday night, fireworks party's going off all over the place.
Yep.
We went to a neighbour's one in Catford, okay?
Oh, what, sorry?
A neighbour's...
A neighbour's, right, yeah.
Yeah. And... You know, we're all out there, we're looking at fireworks, it was all wonderful. And then, probably about a mile and a half, a couple of miles away,
yeah.
In the distance, up in the sky, was this line of about four orange lights.
Yeah.
That just flew across the sky. And they weren't close to us, they were far away, so from the distance we were from them, they must be moving pretty fast anyway.
Yeah.
But they took about 3-4 minutes to get across to a point.
Yeah.
And they're all in a line, you know, one right behind the other.
Yeah.
And then the first one stopped at one point and then just started to slowly disappear, as though, like, from our line of vision, it was now moving away from us, but in not going up, not going so, just slowly disappearing, like off into the distance.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then the other ones kind of followed it, got to about the same point, went into a kind of triangular formation,
yeah.
And then they all slowly disappeared one by one as well.
Yeah.
Right. That in itself was a little bit strange, but then I thought, being a skeptic that I am, that, I think there might have been a fireworks show down at the Thames and stuff, and maybe it was some sort of, like, the RAF had been out with the planes or whatever.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of orange lights on a plane anyway.
To be honest, Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I mean, you know, I'm already speaking to you on the radio there, for the, and thus, judging by the standard of people who you'll hear calling after 6 o'clock, Ben,
yeah.
Who just ring up and get straight to air, you know, yeah. By that criteria, you could, yes, be mental. But if you suggest to me, if you ring up and say, do you know what, I know it's bonfire night, firework weekend, but I saw some lights in the sky.
No.
People are going to already be sceptical of you, Ben.
Right, I know.
I'm not saying I am. I'm just saying you're not picking the best weekend to tell us about a UFO.
Look, I've spoken to a couple of people. The thing is, there was a few of us in the garden. We all saw this.
Yeah.
Okay? And it was nothing like, people have suggested, well, maybe it was like all the fireworks going off. It changed kind of like, you know, the what lights might be. We saw other planes in the sky, probably at about the same distance.
Yeah.
You see, you know, even at the distance they were, which were probably further away, you see the blinking lights that are white. You know, they're not.
No need to swear.
You see the lights that are flashing, you know, be it the red, the white, you know it's a plane.
Yeah.
Because they've got so a certain amount of flash. These were just bright orange lights.
I'll tell you
anyway,
what.
Last night.
Yeah, more, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, this point is why I'm phoning.
All right.
Last night, yeah. I was going to help a neighbour with his car.
Yeah.
And it was about 7:30, 7:45. I knocked on his door and he came out and he started talking and he said, I've just seen the weirdest thing. And I said, what? And he started to detail to me exactly what I had seen the night before.
Right.
But he saw about 6 or 7 of these lights. Exact same thing, flying in a dead straight line, really, really strange looking, because you don't see orange lights in the sky like that. And then they stopped at a point, and then they slowly disappeared.
Where was this?
This was all based around, well, we live in Broccoli, which is near Lewisham.
Yeah.
And on the Saturday night, we was out in Catford. And the Saturday night, it must have been about 9:30. And last night, it must have been about when he saw them. I didn't see them last night. He said it, well, it was about 7:30.
Do you know what I saw?
Yeah.
I saw this, these lights in the sky yesterday.
So you would have said that at the start. You would have gone, yeah, I know what you're talking about. What was that? But you're not doing that.
No, I'm not. I'm going to describe a firework, aren't I?
You are going to.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Ben, you'll
like this. Alex has phoned up. Hello, Alex.
Oh, hiya, John. Yeah, I was just listening to your story, and I thought I saw something a bit funny. I was watching the firework display from Ali Pally, so I've got a good view over the whole of London.
Yeah.
And
did you see the same thing as Ben?
Well, I mean, it sort of jogged the memory, because when the fireworks at Ali Pally started off at about 7:30.
Yeah.
And I think around about that sort of time, I saw some funny lights, and I thought, well, that's a very, very strange firework formation, or a funny plane or something. I didn't really think anything of it.
Yeah.
But now he sort of said that, you know, he saw something.
Yeah. Did it do the same thing? Was it orange lights, Alex? Like Ben?
Yeah, some sort of funny orange lights. And the thing, I mean, I think I'd be quite a good person to tell the difference between fireworks and something else, because
because you're a guy.
Well, no, because I'm an artist and I'm an animator, so I understand quite a lot about how things move and gravity and movement and stuff. That's what I do for a living, so.
What's gravity got to do with animation?
Well, no, if you're an animator, you have a very good eye for sort of how things move. Instead of, you know, space and 3D and all that sort of stuff.
That's true, isn't it? Because Einstein famously first came up with the idea of Mickey Mouse, didn't he? with Walt Disney.
I'm not sure about that.
During the war.
No, but I mean, as an animator, a lot of people get confused with perspective and stuff like that. And
yeah.
An artist and animator, sometimes you've got to sort of...
Because it's distant. You've got to judge distance.
You've
got an eye for it, Alex, is what you're telling
me. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
So how big would you say they were, judging it by your criteria, how big would you say the lights were in the sky?
That's a tricky one, judging, because I was more sort of confused with why they were sort of behaving the way they were. I thought, hold on a second, is that a firework or is it lights?
But lots of other people saw it, presumably with you.
Well, no, I was with my girlfriend. I didn't even bother to say anything to my girlfriend, because it was just so sort of quick, and I just saw it in the corner of my eye. But I thought that looked a bit odd, and I just thought I'd just missed it and just ignored it, basically, because I thought it must be some sort of weird firework. But it wasn't a firework. I thought, what was that? But now this other guy's talking about it.
Yeah.
I think get a few other people to...
So, Ben, someone does agree with you there, you see, so this is happening. I've also got Lucy, who's phoned up, who says she saw them as well.
Hi. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, hang on a second. Well, let's talk to Lucy. Lucy, hello.
Hello.
Where are you calling from, Lucy?
I'm from Chiswick.
Chiswick, yep.
And I know I sound like a weird UFO spotter.
Yeah, you do, yeah.
Yeah, but I really did see them with my boyfriend last night.
The same lights?
Well, it was over Windsor. We were driving back from a wedding in Windsor.
Yeah.
And they were just these really, really weird... But they looked really still because we flew... Well, we drove right under them.
Yeah.
And
how high above the road were they?
Not very high, because you could see that there was no plane attached because there was no shadow above them.
Right.
They were quite low.
Were they separate? Yeah. Separate lights?
Yeah, but they were, like, perfectly distant from each other, like... Three of them.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
And what colour were they?
They were sort of... They weren't bright orange. They were just like,
But you've got to look at the evidence I'm being presented with, and I'm not saying this is nonsense.
This is proper evidence, though.
But, hang on. It's bonfire night. It's firework night.
Well, exactly.
And you're driving at Windsor, which is on the flight path to Heathrow. Lucy.
I know.
For goodness sake.
Planes too, and these weren't planes. We could see lots of planes.
Ah. Jay's also there as well.
Hello,
Jay.
Yeah, hello. I've done the same things as well. I was in Ashford, but my neighbour came out. And
you've got asthma. What?
I live in Ashford.
Oh, sorry.
In Middlesex.
Yeah.
And my neighbour came out and explained what they.
Yeah.
Like Chinese hot air balloons, they light a candle and they just go up in the air and basically just keep going up and they disappear when the atmosphere gets them.
No.
Chinese hot air balloons?
Yeah, the Chinese do or fireworks, and basically what it is, they let them off and they just go up in the air.
Yeah.
Obviously higher and higher as they get, the heat obviously goes lighter than the actual atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then once it goes higher, obviously the atmosphere up there gets thinner and thinner and the oxygen kills the flame and then it burns out.
What do you say to that, Ben?
John.
Yeah.
No, these flew across the sky. They weren't just going up. They were going across the sky.
Yeah,
they went right across our field of vision. They weren't just...
Hang on. A sky off... across a sky or a field?
Pardon?
You just said they were going across a field.
Across our field of vision.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sorry, carry on.
And they just went straight across. There was no way there were balloons that were just floating somewhere aimlessly. They had...
Well, they had a flame coming out of the bottom of them. They
just
see
a flame. No flame.
You know what?
They had nothing.
Just leave them to it. Just fight this out. Sorry, carry on. Go on.
Who's talking there?
What?
Is it me?
Yeah, you.
Right, no, this is what I'm saying.
Right.
They flew straight across the sky. I understand
what... Arsenal Football Club's former...
bear with me, I'm reading it. Oh, did you want me to do this live read thing, Chris? You did say quarter two, didn't you? Yeah. Do you want it in a DJ voice again? Or do you want me to do it in a... Yeah? Oh, a DJ voice, alright. All this week with Nick Ferrari at breakfast, you can win a weekend break for two flying from Heathrow with Heathrow Connect, the smart new way... To get to London Heathrow Airport, all you have to do is work out Nick's London connection and you could be jetting off for a romantic weekend break with Nick Ferrari. Imagine the fun. That's all this week with Nick Ferrari at breakfast and Heathrow Connect, weekday mornings from 7. Is that right? Yeah. Hi, John. I feel really sorry for Harvester Simon. My ex of 10 years ago loved Harvester-type restaurants. I didn't. Well, not three times a week. I'll take her off my blocked list and try and get her phone number for him. That's nice, isn't it? She's on my blocked list because she kept sending me emails with revealing photographs of herself with the quote, "Look what you're missing out on." Don't tell Simon, but I'm glad she doesn't know where I live now. Mind, she's still eye candy. Well, I think, quite honestly, who's that from? I didn't see that's from. Because it's not come in who it's from. But do send us her number and indeed the revealing photographs. And of course, we will pass them on to Simon from the Harvester. Now, Stuart is on the telephone, electric telephone balancing unit, line 9, Stuart.
Hello, John.
Hello.
You got
an explanation for the UFO lights?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I live in Farnborough, which is not far from Heathrow.
Yeah.
And the weirdest thing happened, I was out in the garden with the kids with the fireworks.
Yeah, last night.
No, it wasn't last night, it was Saturday, but the weather conditions were very, very similar.
Okay.
And I set a rocket off.
Yeah.
Went up in the air, and then it landed about a foot away from where I set it off. It actually dug in the ground like an arrow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, you know, people were arguing whether or not it was going left or right or up or down. But, you know... You always see weird things flying over here because of Heathrow, and you've got the Farnborough Airport here as well.
Yeah, and it's firework night, for goodness sake.
Exactly. You know, I'm not saying they're all paranoid or they're all jumping on the X-Files, but, you know, I think they've got to put a bit of sense into it all.
I wonder if any of them have got a photograph of the X-Files that they don't show to their current files.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. So, but I'm with you. You see, weird stuff happens, Stuart. What do you mean it went up and came... It went up into the air and just came back down?
Yeah, we just heard this thud, and it was, you know, it obviously took 10 seconds to get to wherever it did. And
yeah.
I mean, these weren't, like, cheap ones, like the black cat boxes or whatever you get. These were quite expensive.
Yeah.
And you know, and I just
thought... Other fireworks are available.
Well, exactly. But it just proved that there wasn't that much wind that night, and for that to happen, well, I just thought it was a bit freaky, that was all.
Maybe, Stuart, maybe, you see, the other callers would perhaps say, but a rocket went up, But, got knocked back down at you by a UFO.
Exactly, it could have done.
That's my
They could have been setting off fireworks out there.
How about, this is a theory, though, you see. If indeed people are seeing this so-called UFO activity over London and the surrounding areas on firework night, and there's me saying, yeah, fireworks. And they go, no, it wasn't. How about this? Because from space, on firework night, planet Earth, you're going to see bits of light going off, right? Aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, flashes of light in the sky. So, you know, that's going to attract any passing alien creature who's just going, who's someone's signal. They're perhaps going to come for a look. That's all I'm saying, Stuart. Although, standing to reason, that means that, say, over Iraq, UFOs will be all the time because of the big explosions going off there.
I think it's getting a bit deep for me now, John.
Might be, mate. You started off on Black Cat Rockets. I've gone to Basra. Yeah. But thanks for that. It might be, you know, we'll throw it into the mix, Stuart.
Okay, thank you.
Paul, hello.
Hello, John. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I was thinking, actually, do you not think good names for fire... You know fireworks have names like Golden Shower, which sounds a bit rude, right?
Yeah.
And Fountain and Explodey Thing and Massive Thing.
Yeah.
Why not a range of fireworks, if the war's still going on next year, which let's assume it probably will be, you could have one, you know, Basra.
Yeah, or I think that they should update some of the name, because the Catherine Wheel's a bit old. They could call it the Prescott Wheel.
The Prescott Wheel?
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Baghdad! Big one, that.
Wheel?
Big blowing up one, that. Yeah.
That sounds very good, that.
I'm just thinking, just thinking of marketing, Paul. I'm not sure about the Bush Wheel. I think that could be all sorts of different things that probably aren't allowed to be said on the radio.
Actually, are you allowed to say Bush on the radio?
No. So don't.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay. So, Paul, where are you calling from?
Ladbroke Grove.
Okay. Hello,
actually, just before I explain the whole thing about all this business with the lights.
Yeah.
I just want to sort of ask if any callers in future, when they call in tonight, could tell me anything interesting to put in my salad. I've made quite an interesting salad.
Oh, okay. What's interesting about it so far?
Oh, it's got chopped nuts in it.
Yeah, that's not a salad. That's just a bowl of nuts.
Oh, no. I mean, but it's got lots and lots of different types of lettuces. Tomatoes. Grated carrot and beetroot.
Yeah.
Nuts.
It's not that interesting yet. That's just a salad, isn't it? That's not an interesting... I mean, it'd be interesting if you put, I don't know, a live cat in there. That'd be an interesting salad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I've got a nice pie to go with it as
if
well.
A fish pie?
No, a nice big pie.
A nice big pie.
Big steak pie.
A steak pie. But that's fine. That's a pie. But what you've made to go with it is a salad. Not an interesting salad, just a salad. It's interesting if you take all those ingredients, and I don't know, if you do, you know, go out and put some tadpoles in there as a surprise at the bottom.
You can't get them this time of the year.
No, you can't, that's true.
No.
Well, I'll take it all back then.
But just if anybody's got any interesting suggestions for an interesting salad. It's very colourful.
You should talk to Simon. He's an expert on visits to a salad cart.
Oh, yeah. Perhaps someone who's been to the Harvester could tell me.
Yeah, he's been to a Harvester before.
Oh, that sounds good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, if you could... Maybe. What a great idea. Let's help Paul with his salad. 08709090973 for salad advice for Paul. Thanks, Paul.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, good. Go away now, you mental person. thank you. LBC 97.3, I'm John Holmes in for Ian Lee.
Meet Careful Kev.
Oh, my God! I've just seen dozens of those orange lights driving home while I'm driving home from work! Ah! It's a text from Lorna. She goes on to say they were either side of the road attached to long concrete posts. It was amazing. Bob is in Thamesmead. Hello.
Hello, John.
I must admit, I tend to favour that this is an army or a military-driven thing of some kind, you know.
Well, sorry, you're talking about the lights or the ex-photographs of your ex-girlfriend?
Just the, oh, no, no. The UFO phenomenon.
Oh, yeah, phenomenon.
I suspect it's all homegrown, because I would imagine that if any race has mastered light travel and got here,
yeah,
they're gonna flush us out. You know, they're gonna take what they can get and just leave. And can you imagine? I mean, based upon our history, going back a few hundred years, how we used to go to Australia or India or wherever we went. Can you imagine us zooming into outer space, coming across a nice planet? And I don't think we'd be doing the Captain James T. Kirk thing. You know, we'd be saying, we own you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What would you put in a salad to make it interesting, Bob?
Spinach and curly lettuce and
stuff. No, that's not interesting. That's what you'd expect in a salad.
Kidney beans.
What about, what about this? What about if you're about to, if you've, you know, made a nice salad for your partner in a salad bowl, in, for your girlfriend, Bob, or your wife, and then at the bottom, when she's sort of getting the lettuce out with the spoons, there's a nude photograph of your ex. That'd be, that'd be an interesting salad.
A nude photograph of the ex. Yeah, well, that'd be a good one. It depends if you have an ex, of course.
Well, it does depend on that. Do you?
Have an ex?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do have an ex.
There you go, then.
But I don't have a current, that's,
Oh, don't you?
I'm perfectly happy with that, by the way.
Oh, fair enough. We're kind of matchmaking. We put set up Simon with, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. Somebody earlier. But Claire is on the other line. Claire, hello, Claire.
Hello.
Do you fancy Bob, Claire?
Not really. Doesn't really do it for me, I'm
does
afraid.
Does he not? Bob, she doesn't like it.
Choice in salads is a bit ropey, I'm afraid.
Yeah. What would you put in a salad, Claire?
What would you put in a salad, then?
Yeah, good question, Bob.
Well, to make it interesting, I think you'd have to put something obscure, like perhaps jelly, because I think the shape of the salad tongs would be rather interesting.
A jelly salad, Claire. That's brilliant.
You see?
What about asparagus spears?
You expect that, Bob. That just all that
do
does it, that only surprises you the next day when your wee smells. That's all that does.
Does it? Well, you must be eating the wrong type.
No, asparagus does that, doesn't it? That's famous. Everyone knows that. I'm not making that up, Bob.
Well, fair enough. But I must admit, I've never.
It's not surprising.
It's the same. It's the same as beetroot, darling. It makes your wee wee pink.
There you go.
Oh well, beetroot's nice. Now, how about that?
That's not interesting, Bob. It goes in a salad, doesn't it?
Well, you don't get many people putting beetroot in a salad, to be honest with you.
Why not? Everyone does.
Well, I do, but...
Well, there you go, and you're not very interesting, so there you go, Bob.
If you go out somewhere and ask for a salad, you'll almost never find beetroot in it.
But it belongs in there, doesn't it? You want to put something like a hammer or a pig's head. That's what you want to make it interesting.
I see. Oh, well...
That's what you want. You've got the basic ingredients of salad, is what I'm saying. We're going to put something interesting in it. I'm going to get a salad, and into the salad, on top of the lettuce and everything else, I'm simply going to put, and I'm telling you now, I'm putting the 6 o'clock news! On the mystery, you'll be pleased to know, of the lights, finally. John, the lights in the sky over London last night were me and my three friends in our electric microlights, which have orange lights fitted on them. We do that as a ruse to see if idiots fall for it, and that's from Paul in Ladbroke Grove. OK, LBC 97.3, as you know, I'm John Holmes in Free and Lee, as you might not know, but I am him. The lines are open now without any vetting whatsoever. But if you call, if you call 0870 9090 973, I want to know is, what would you put in a salad to make it interesting? That's what I want to know. Let's,
Yo. Cucumber.
That's not interesting, is it? That's not making a salad interesting. That's just making a salad. What would make a salad interesting? Yep. What? Just a waste of broadcasting.
Hello?
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Oh, hang on.
Okay.
Hello.
Thanks very much. Goodbye. Next one, please. Yeah, hello?
I put helium balloons in there.
In salad?
Yeah.
That's brilliant. See, that makes a salad interesting. And would you, though, would you put them in at the bottom of the salad, but without any helium in, and then, during the salad course serving, secretly inflate the balloons underneath from a helium canister.
No, because if you inflate
so the salad first, would float up to the sky. What?
If you inflate them first and put the salad on top, then you'll have floating helium balloon salad.
Yeah, but isn't it more interesting and surprising to float to pump the balloons up with the helium during people taking the salad? Because then, if it's up there in the first place, it's not much of a surprise.
Yeah, I suppose so. And then it could fall out of the sky.
Or
salad from the sky.
Or put salad in balloons. With the helium, float the whole thing up, then jab.
Oh, you're a genius.
Get
man,
long sticks, long sticks. People could go, open your mouth for the salad! And then burst the balloons, and people could catch the falling cucumber in their mouths.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm going to do that when I go home.
Do that, please.
Thank you.
Next, what's interesting in salad? Hello? Yep.
In their mouth.
Can you turn your radio down, please?
Chris?
No. Next caller, please. Yeah, hello.
Hello, salad?
Yes.
Angelina Jolie. The only thing that get me interested in salad.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Angelina Jolie salad. Imagine that.
Absolutely fantastic.
How would you?
I don't need to think of any more than that.
No, I think that's it. I think you've cracked it. Yeah.
Hello, John.
Yeah.
Thinly sliced lemongrass.
Thinly sliced lemongrass?
Yes.
Mm. Have you ever had that in a salad?
All the time.
And
all the time.
What is it?
But very thinly sliced, otherwise it's like wood.
Well, that'd be a bit awkward. Do you thinly slice it yourself, or would you buy it?
Oh, I thinly slice it myself. But also, can I say, with regard to these strange lights in the sky...
Yes.
I think that Guy Fawkes was actually an alien that was put on this planet...
Yeah.
...in order that in the future, UFOs could be disguised as fireworks.
It's an interesting theory, Alan, but not interesting enough for me to keep you on the telephone. Next caller...
Evening, John.
Ah, Philip.
I'm sorry I didn't realise that it was you wanted salad. The reason I rang...
Yes?
I went down to see some friends in Brighton today.
Right.
Did you know the buses down there have all got people's names on?
I didn't know that, no. In what... How do you mean? In what
well, way? I mean, they got... I imagine the people must have been famous in the Brighton area. I mean, they had people... I mean, have you heard of Phoebe Hestle?
Phoebe Hestle?
Yes.
No.
Maria Fitzherbert?
Does she?
Yeah, oh, John Rastrick. I mean, there were a couple of names, John, that I did recognise.
Yes?
Enid Baganol.
Who's Enid Baganol?
Well, she wrote the famous novel National Velvet.
Oh.
And the other one, which I'm sure a lot of people... Do you remember the Daily Mail theatre critic, Jack Tinker?
I do, no, I certainly
well,
know that name.
He's got a bus. I know he's passed away, but he's got a bus running around Brighton.
So it's like trains. They name trains after people, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, what...
Oh, I'd like a bus, Philip. Would you like a bus?
Well, I used to work on them for 38 years.
Oh,
I don't
yeah,
think
did,
I would. What route would you like, John? What route in London would you like to have your name on?
Oh, that's good, isn't it? I'd like, I think I would like the... Well, obviously it's got to go from Trafalgar Square. I'm thinking night bus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm thinking I'd probably like to go west.
Right.
And I'd sort of like to go out towards Kensington Way.
I just wonder what the criteria... whether you have to be dead before they will name a bus after you...
No.
Or whether you can write in and say, I would like to have a bus named after John or Ian or Chris.
Yeah. No, not them, just me.
I mean, then you could have all the LBC presenters got their own bus route.
That is good. Imagine that. What are you doing today? I'm going on the James O'Brien route today. Where does that go? Up its own arse. Oh, no. So, anyway, moving on. Yes, good idea, Philip.
Okay, John.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep, good, Philip there. Good idea. Buses, nothing to do with salad. But, okay, that's fine now. Lines, of course, are open here. We just put you straight through it. 08709973 for this half an hour. Again, it's against my better judgment, but apparently them's the rules. I don't make them up. Hello, yes.
Salad.
Oh, you see, this, I like the salad thing better, if I'm honest. Now it's just gone stupid again. Yeah, hello.
Bill Buckley's briefs.
You put that in a salad?
Yes, he brings a spare pair to work in a sandwich bag.
Not a briefs, but a briefcase, wouldn't it be?
No, a sandwich bag in his briefcase.
Right, okay. But it's a briefcase to keep briefs in.
To keep briefs in, yes it is, but he likes to, you know, he likes to rebel, our Bill.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yes, that's what I like in his salad.
But if you were making that salad, that wouldn't surprise you, would it? That you'd put them in there yourself because you sound like a bit of a perv.
Yes, I am. And
no,
it wouldn't surprise me, but it makes a good salad, John. I suggest you try it.
I will try it. I'll try Bill Buckley's briefs on a salad. Is that all right with you?
That's all right with me.
All right, thank you very much for your call, then. Why does Bill Buckley bother phoning up, putting that up? Why does he do that? He just talks about himself. Phones up, talks about himself. Yeah, hello.
Yeah, you said to me last week, John, that Henry Kelly was filling in for you on Drive Time, and what day's he appearing?
Oh, Henry?
Yeah.
He can only do Wednesday.
And is Verinda going to fill in for you this week as well?
I think Verinda's doing Thursday. If
Thursday?
I think
what
that, I think, no, I've got that wrong. Chris is just telling me now. What it is Henry Kelly's doing Wednesday.
Yeah.
But he's, have you heard, do you know Roger DeCourcy and Nookie Bear?
Roger DeCourcy and Nookie Bear? Yeah, very well, actually,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. What it is Henry Kelly's doing the show, but he's going to be, Verinda's going to be sitting on his arm like a puppet.
Yeah.
And he's going to be working Verinda like that, like, and it's going to be sort of ventriloquism act, but with Henry Kelly and Verinda.
Well, I'll be looking forward to that, John.
It's on Wednesday.
Oh, well, it's a great show today, so I'm looking forward to listening to Henry and Verinda this week. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Who's that?
Oh, yes, hello, and a gorgeous good afternoon to you, John, my darling. I was wondering if I
Is that a poor quality impression of Dame Edna Everidge?
I don't like that sort of thing, my darling. People are always saying that we're both Australian. That's about as common as you can get, isn't it?
Yeah. What would you put in a salad?
Marshmallows.
Good surprise.
There you go.
That is a good surprise in a salad.
I'd smother them in mayonnaise, as I do with everything.
Yeah, everything?
Well, not everything, but everything put in a salad.
Otherwise, that's going to make bathing quite inconvenient, isn't it?
Surprise them, wouldn't it, my darling? You could disguise them as champignons, I think they call them.
Yeah, oh, good. Marshmallows in salad, I like that a lot.
I'm glad you like it, my darling. So we're getting on famously. When are you moving in?
I'll move in whenever you like.
Oh, you say that to all the girls. Listen,
yes,
I wouldn't mind a bus named after me.
No. Thanks for that information. This is LBC 97.3. I've got 5-3. Tomorrow we will be continuing the game of Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War Dark Crusade for the radio. So if you do want to play that tomorrow afternoon between 3 and 6:30, 0870 90 90 973 is the number to call then. I will have prizes to give away. Today we gave away 2 high definitions. I've got 2 left. Probably give them away tomorrow for other players. If you can get the high score, that is. The Mystery Voice competition, we had lots of entries in today. No one's actually got it. I can tell you that it's Simon Cowell. He was talking about the fact that he doesn't like losing. Here it is.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
I asked you who that was. No one's got it. No one's got it yet, but you've still got 10 minutes if you want to text 84850 or email homes@lbc.co.uk with your answer. The lines are open. And people are pouring through them like this one.
Hello there.
Hello there.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, Mystery Voice. I'm glad it hasn't gone.
No, it hasn't gone.
Oh, right. Is it Clodagh Rodgers?
Let's have a listen. Let's have a listen, see.
Amazing. I mean, you know, I hate losing.
Oh, you're very so close.
Oh, I do have an idea, though. Phil's idea for having bus routes named after LBC presenters.
Yes.
This one is going to make the free podcast, I assure you.
Well, go on then.
Steve Allen, it's got to be the number 69, hasn't it?
Oh. Can we cut that out of the podcast? Can we cut that out? Yeah. Next one, please. Hello, yeah?
Good evening, it's Lee from Little Homie.
Is it?
I have an idea for your salad.
What are you going to put in a salad to make it interesting, Lee?
A rabbit.
A rabbit?
I like a bit of irony. When you're growing salad vegetables, they all eat.
Fair point, I suppose, yeah, but I don't know that it's irony.
Well, you sit down to eat your salad, and you eat the rabbit. Revenge is sweet, a sweet salad. I liked it.
Got a suggestion here. It says, I would put small chunks of the Roman Emperor Caesar in salad.
He never did me any harm, though, but those rabbits, they always eat the lettuce.
What?
The rabbits, they always eat the lettuce.
All I heard was a rabbit.
That's mobiles for you. I know, isn't it? Yeah.
A mobile in a salad? That'd be all right.
Nothing against mobile. Yeah. Nothing against mobile.
But a rabbit, are you thinking a live rabbit?
I think that's probably a bit cruel.
Actually, no, I think a live rabbit in a salad would be very... Because, again, you hide it underneath.
Right, yeah, it pops out.
You know, you serve the salad to your sophisticated guests at your dinner party.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a bit of Katie Melua on the stereo. You got the lights down low. It's a sophisticated dinner party. Perhaps it's a celebration for a new job or birthday. And you serve the salad that you've made all afternoon. And you say, look at the beautiful salad. They go, oh, it's got peppers on. That's nice. Nice colourful green salad with other colours. all of a sudden, rabbit jumps out. But a rabbit that's ill with myxomatosis and its eyes are all full of pus. That'd be an interesting, surprising salad, wouldn't it, Lee?
I know a joke about that, but it's nothing to do with putting something in the salad, so...
I don't want to hear your joke. I don't want to hear your joke. Next caller, please. Hello. Yep. Hello.
To make a salad interesting, you should add a rocket and some treacle pudding. And the word on the street in Croydon today is splan.
Really have plumbed the depths now of mental. Yep.
Is that John?
What? Yeah, next caller then. Yeah, hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
Hi. I want to talk about the salad thing.
Do you?
The interesting salad
thing. What would you put in a salad to make it interesting?
I've got three items, is that alright?
Well, okay, give me two and we'll see how it goes.
Strawberry Ribena, mixed in with Snickers, mixed in with...
Knickers or Snickers?
Knickers.
Knickers would be more surprising.
But you've got to take out the nuts, because you said nuts, that's not interesting.
No, not the nuts aren't interesting.
Yeah, so Snickers.
Don't say nuts and Knickers in the same sentence.
And opal fruit, I think that's perfect.
Opal fruits?
Oh, sorry, Starburst, I'm forgetting.
Yeah, come on, get with the times. So, strawberry what? Ribena?
Strawberry Ribena.
Mixed with a Snickers?
No, take out the nuts.
Take out the nuts and replace the nuts with Starburst. I suppose that would make an interesting salad.
Yeah.
It'd be a bit sort of, you know, drinky, wouldn't it? Be a bit liquidy.
True. You can always add some flour.
There you go. Now you've done it. That's the way. Then you have a sort of salad-y glue. Brilliant. Thanks for that, weirdo. Next caller.
Hello, mate.
Hello there.
It's Lawrence from Old Windsor.
Hello, Lawrence.
Stuff for salads.
Yep, go on. What did you put in a salad?
I put tangerine jelly with... grated carrot.
Tangerine jelly, yeah.
With grated carrot, and I'll do blackberry jelly with a root with, what's the other gear called? The, what you having to put? The red stuff. The red stuff, the fruit.
The red stuff that's fruit.
It's like a vegetable thing.
Tomato.
You boil it up and it's very red.
I don't know, a lobster.
No, not a lobster.
Your hand by accident in some hot fat.
No, that's not it, no.
Well, that'd go very red if you boiled it up, though, wouldn't it? Be honest.
Beetroot. Blackcurrant and beetroot, all mixed in the
Beetroot's not an interesting salad. Beetroot goes in a salad, Lawrence.
It's very nice, isn't it? It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's not surprising or interesting, is it?
Well, I don't know.
I'm thinking, you know, what you want to do, you put the, I don't know, put a hide a tramp in there.
You know the old saying is,
and then they jump out during the salad. That's
you know the old saying is, don't you?
Yes, I do. Next caller, please. Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Can you turn your radio down a bit?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Have you done that?
I have indeed.
Thanks very much. Next caller, then, please. Hello?
Yeah, if you missed that bit of Ian Lee, don't bother catching on the podcast, because there's not Ian Lee, it's Skaya.
Was that English? Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, sorry, yes. Salads. What I do... is pound coin.
Put a little
pound coin, and when they finish the salad, put it at the bottom of the salad, and when they finish, they get a little pound coin.
That's good. That's like...
Also,
yeah.
Sorry, just on the subject of exes and photos.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to keep a photo of your ex if she's passed away?
Interesting question, actually.
Because
I suppose that makes it seem, you know, that's no, there's no area of jealousy for your current partner there, is there? Unless you're not going to go dig up the...
It's a saucy one.
Yeah.
But, you know...
But yeah, but she's passed away.
She's passed away, yeah. She choked on a pound coin.
Oh, that was good. You see, he thought that through and everything. That was good. I admire that. That was fine. 08709090973. You will get straight through to the lines at the moment, all of which are lighting up like a Christmas tree, Chris, aren't they? 08709090973 to get straight through. I might carry on talking about UFOs tomorrow, because we run out of time to talk about UFOs. And I did like the, you know, we were getting somewhere with that. I felt like a sort of Radio Mulder. So I might carry on UFOs tomorrow. Is that good? Can we do that? Yeah, probably. Hello, phone.
Beep, 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 beep
See, I tried to get a higher standard of call, and then that just sneaks through, doesn't it? Hello, next. Yeah, hello.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
What does that mean? She choked on a pound coin. I don't get that one.
What he's saying is he murdered his partner with a pound coin. During a photograph. No, because he set it up, didn't he, by saying he hid a pound coin in some salad.
I didn't hear that bit.
No, that's the thing. He said, oh, I'd made a salad and put a pound coin in it, then led me a merry dance towards his dead ex-girlfriend that it turned out he'd killed with a pound coin. He thought it through. And I admire it.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Cheers, John.
All right, thanks for that. Next one on the phone. We haven't got long left. What time do we get? Very soon, isn't it? What time? Yeah, about 40 seconds. All right, then, we'll get two in. Go on, you. Yeah, what?
Call me back, please.
Yeah, okay. Next caller, please.
You all right, mate?
Yeah, should we call you back as well?
No, I can talk now.
Yeah, if you like. What do you want?
I'd put Ken Livingstone's head in a salad.
Ken Livingstone's head in a salad. That's good, isn't it?
It is. Every time someone
got the salad fork and spoon to go into the bowl to get part of the head out to eat, you could charge them a congestion charge.
You could.
Every time they cross the limit of the salad. Thanks very much. We've sort of ended it there, but I'll be back same time tomorrow, 3 till 6:30. Hello, I was John Holmes sitting in for Ian Lee. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Nick, can I just say...